Hi, my name is Michael. I'm Rich's friend. I have glasses. I play Pokemon Go in my spare time. I had to pass some gas into the microphone. It's a ritual I like to do before I go on air. My mom taught me to curse. And I make a podcast with Rich, and we have lots of fun, and it's called The Crisp Noodle. Tune in. My name's Michael Costanzo. It's good time, yeah.
You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Woo! Yeah! How you guys doing?
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you the most interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, news, and whatever else happens to be in our minds. Isn't that right?
That's right. We bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. With the sports sampler, the entertainment entree, and the non-fortune cookie odd news, we are the meal for your mind.
Om nom nom.
Yeah, enjoy it. Eat up.
Dig manja.
In. Yeah, manja.
We're Italian.
Yeah,
it's manja.
Manja. Dig in.
Remember the old Italian lady that I did back a few episodes ago? Kissabella.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah,
manja, manja, tu sei manja.
Yes.
You gotta eat. They pinch your cheeks.
Yeah, sports sapola.
Sports sapola.
Sports antipasto.
Hey, yeah, nice, nice. Busting out the one Italian word you
know.
Yeah,
all right. I remember.
Yeah. Oh, man. People might not know. We took Italian for 2 years in high school together.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Way back in the day.
I don't really remember any of it.
No, it's all gone.
I'm sorry. Sorry, Mr. Gisillo.
Mr. Gisillo.
Yeah. He was our Italian teacher. Oh, man.
I feel like we were responsible for raising his blood pressure a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, we were up to hijinks in that class. Oh, yeah. Good times. But anyway, a stroll down memory lane aside, this is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We give you some topics that we have prepared and we'll talk over in this episode in sports, entertainment, and odd news. But before we delve into those topics, we do a little bit of how you doing in this introduction part. So, Mike, what have you been up to since the last time we recorded a show?
You know, just been relaxing mostly in the dog days of summer. Using this time to catch up on some small video games here and there that I haven't been able to play much about. I've been really into Prison Architect recently. I talked about it a few
this
weeks
is a
ago.
Game.
Yeah, it's a game. Yeah,
no, this isn't like a category that Mike just researches on his own.
No. Yeah, I'm just, yeah, no, I'm not into,
I'm into
actually
architects,
designing
and I
prisons.
Like specifically prisons architects?
Yeah. No, it's actually a game where you build your own prison and you decide.
It's a Sim City for prison.
It's Sim City for prison, basically. Yeah. And you have to, you're like a prison for profit. So you have to, you know, the types of inmates you take in, you get certain
just like the actual actual prison system.
You learn a lot about the prison system. You're like, oh, wow, this is, I mean, it's probably not all very accurate, but it's kind of interesting. The for-profit part is, let me tell you, if you take in maximum security inmates, you get $1,000 per prisoner per day. It's pretty good.
What's probably weird is there's probably like a same system or something with the actual system.
I think it's probably similar to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not an expert on the prison system.
I'm really into prison right now. I've watched Orange is the New Black. I play Prison Architect.
Are you watching 90 Days Locked Up or whatever on A&E?
What's that?
Oh,
they lock up people for 90 days, I assume?
It's this reality show on A&E where they take normal people who haven't committed a crime and they pay them like $10,000.
$10,000?
If they stay in jail for 90 days and don't quit or something.
90 days is a long time.
It is.
Now, here's the thing. It's a reality show, so nobody's going to be shivving you. Nobody's going to be, you know, you're not dropping the soap in the shower. They're going to protect you, right?
I don't know.
It's a reality show. Come on.
I haven't watched it. But that,
you
that
haven't watched
like,
it. You got to watch it and tell me about
like,
it.
That sounds like that sounds. But that sounds like that would be up your alley because you're into all this prison stuff.
I don't really watch that much reality TV except for America's Got Talent.
I just realized I better not phrase this as you're into this prison stuff.
Can you discipline him?
Oh, kinky.
I like some handcuffs and.
It's a little weird.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
But
can you discipline him?
Oh, kinky.
Thanks.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, so I'm into the prison stuff. It's quite interesting. But that's what I've been doing recently.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Orange is the New Black can be.
Yeah, well,
it's a women's
all the
prison.
Ladies, yeah.
Yeah.
Man, I liked Ruby Rose. That was my girl.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
My gosh.
Whew. I'm going to look them up and see.
Right what? Now, during the podcast?
Right now, during
Are you
the
podcast? Serious?
I'm going to look up a cast of characters.
Oh, I thought you were looking up images.
And
I know it's something to do with sex.
Yes, the cast of characters and then their corresponding sex scenes, of course, Rich.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
I mean, there's just some really, good looking ladies on that show.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say. Like, the main character's pretty good looking.
Yep. So,
but anyway,
there you go. That's our review of
prison,
the New Black.
Prison and prison ladies.
There you go.
That's what I've been up to. Rich, what have you been up to though? Probably less prison stuff.
Yeah. No prison stuff.
Okay.
No prison stuff on my end.
That's a shame. It's a lot of fun, man. I'm telling you.
No, I'm good. I'm good with that. Actually, had kind of a little bit of a quiet weekend. But I tell you what, I'm looking forward to the next week or two coming up because there's a lot of things happening in my world of golf, which we're going to get to. The British
oh,
Open
man.
Is this weekend, so that's going to be
know.
Fun to watch.
That's so thrilling.
Yeah, we're going to talk about it. But also, we're gearing up for the game show marathon.
Yep.
That's in 2 weekends. Not this weekend coming up, the weekend after. And yeah, this is crunch time. We're about to, you know, get everything ready for promotions for it. You know, we're all in contact with each other. We're all talking about the games we're going to do. Man, I'm looking forward to this. I cannot wait. And, this is a fun event.
And you've been doing this. This is the third year you've been doing it?
Yeah,
fourth
this is the third
year?
Year.
Third
yeah.
year? Uh-huh. Yeah. I got to tell you, every once in a while, I'll watch some of the streams and you guys play some really fun games. I mean, well, game shows. They're
yeah,
always a
game
blast,
shows.
You know? Everybody knows a couple of game shows, and you were telling me the schedule a few days ago, and I'm like, oh, man, this sounds amazing. Like, there's so many great game shows you guys are doing. Some of them, most of them I haven't even heard of. So if you want to, like, learn about game shows, there you go. Go check it out. And, of course, to donate to a great charity like Child's Play.
Yep.
And that's next weekend, right? The 23rd and the 24th
right,
of July.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes. So not this weekend, but the following weekend.
Next weekend, yeah. But people got to start prepping now.
Right.
Because if you're going to watch the stream, you got to stay up 24 hours straight.
Yeah. And you got to get mentally ready.
That's right. Yeah.
So, yeah.
You have to do mental exercises in preparation for the game shows.
Yeah.
Brush up on some trivia, some wordplay. Yeah.
But also in a monetary sense, too, because we're going to ask for donations.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're asking, you know, the best part about something like this is... Seriously, a $10 or $15 donation goes so far.
Yeah,
like, I mean, I know a lot of donations will say, oh, yeah, $5, $10 goes a long way. No, we really mean it.
Yeah.
Because we're our goal is $2,500, and we're
right.
independent. We're just on an independent online streaming website. So, I mean, we got some star power with it within the game show community, but we're not anything, you know, too big.
You're not like a national
right.
telethon.
We're, right.
You know?
We're not,
it's,
yeah. We're
it's,
not.
It's like a local, just a bunch of guys having fun, playing game shows, trying to raise money for a great cause. Let's put it in this way. You know, if everybody donates $20, you only need 125 people to donate to reach the target.
Right.
You know, so every little bit really goes a long way.
Exactly. So don't think that, you know, only $5 isn't enough or something. No.
Yeah.
Do it. It helps us. And it
and
all
goes
so, to a great
cause.
It's
so worth it. It's so worth it. It goes to a great cause. You get to watch awesome game shows. You know, it's
and I,
it's just
another
fantastic.
Another thing I got to say is very faithful renditions of the shows because the three guys that organize this event every year, Corey, Chris, and Bob, are not just game show fanatics. They've also been on game shows. They know how everything works, like to the most minute detail. They have the sound effects. They got the graphics.
They're very staunch traditionalists, is what you're saying. When
yeah,
it comes to game shows.
Yeah, I mean, this okay. is none of these game shows we do are half-assed, to put it bluntly.
Okay.
So it's...
So you're getting a professional, like, this is what the game shows are like.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
adhering to the rules and...
But also just visually and this, just the presentation is great. And I'm always blown away by how well they do it. So you got to check it out. It's not this weekend. It's the following weekend, 23rd to the 24th. We start 12 noon Saturday and we go till 12 noon Sunday and then man. I collapse. That's how it goes. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. So, now the big question is, Mike.
Yes.
Are you, can I count on you for a visit?
Yeah, I might stop by. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're telling me the schedule. There's a couple of games that I want to see how high you can go. The glasses just break. No, you were telling me the schedule, and there's definitely a couple of games that I want to stop by for. So, So I might make my first appearance on the Game Show Marathon.
All
yeah,
right, Mike's.
Now you said that they're doing.
Mike's gonna make an appearance.
What's it called? Pyramid, right?
Yeah,
that's the game that we played here on the podcast.
Yeah, that we made a video noodle out of.
Yeah, that
if
might
you
be
guys it. Are subscribing, you should.
You guys
know.
Would know that already.
Ta-da.
Come on.
Yeah.
Ta-da! Yeah. Shameless self-plug. But no, so I might stop by for another round of Pyramid. You know, that might be fun.
Mm-hmm.
I love Family Feud. I know you guys are doing Family Feud, right?
Yeah, we're kicking it off with Family Feud.
That's like one of my favorites. Everybody knows Family Feud.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorites. It's funny. Everybody knows it. Everybody gets it, you know. Some of the other ones I haven't ever heard of, but Family Feud, that's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
It's a good one to start off with. So, yeah. I think it's safe to say that I'm going to be making my first appearance on the Game Show Marathon.
All right, yeah. Mike's in. So you're going to get the full crispy noodle guys
for
a little bit of the marathon.
The dynamic duo.
Yes.
The terrible tandem.
I want to see how far you go with this.
I don't know, what other words are... I don't know. That's all I got. That was just those two. Yeah. Do you have any?
The
ponderous partnership.
That doesn't sound right.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Not everything is sexual, Rich.
I know it's something to do with, sex.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You that's, guys.
Too much of your prison stuff.
Too much. I know, the prison stuff. I got the prison stuff on the brain. I was trying to...
I know it's something to do with, sex.
I was trying to think of other words that could mean like a duo, you know?
Can you discipline him?
Oh, kinky.
All right, so there you go.
You bastard.
There you go.
The boisterous bastards.
Ooh, that's a good
there
one.
There you go, yeah.
Boisterous bastards. I kind of like that one.
The awesome ass bleeps.
Can you discipline him?
Oh, kinky.
I couldn't say what I wanted to say because it's not allowed per FCC rules.
Yes. But
screw you, FCC. It is the FCC, right?
Right.
Screw them.
But there you go. Just to give you an idea of what we're up to in this little intro portion of the show. But you know what? I think we've delayed the news for a little bit too much. So let's launch into our first topic. Folks, it's time for the sports sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face! Ha ha!
Yep, sports coming at you in your face in this first segment. And we like to kick off the sports sampler with a segment where we take a couple of topics and we try to give you the nitty-gritty in 2 minutes. We call it the two-minute drill. Mike, are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
All right, so should I start the countdown here?
Let's do it. Let's start the countdown for the two-minute drill.
All right. In 2, 1, go, Mike. What's our first topic?
All right. This week in sports, ESPN recently gave their future power rankings for all NFL teams. And by future, I mean the next 3 seasons. The Eagles ranked 24th in the power rankings over the next 3 seasons. They got points for having young talent. But there are some concerns over new coaches and front office management. As you know, Doug Peterson is the head coach and what's his first? Howie Roseman back at general manager. Meanwhile, though, in the rest of the NFC East, Dallas ranked below us at 26th.
Ah!
However, two sides of a coin, the Giants are ranked 16th and the Redskins are ranked 12th over the next 3 years. Don't quite understand the rankings, but that's what the perfect analysis of ESPN says.
All right, well, first off, the Redskins are the Redskins. They'll find a way to screw things up.
Yeah.
The Giants, though, maybe, you know, the Giants, the big thing is Eli's getting older. And they have a new coaching staff after they got rid of Coughlin.
So how are they ranked higher than the
Eagles?
Right,
I don't know. I think that's a little overrated as well.
Dallas seems about right.
Yeah.
Tony Romo's old.
Screw Dallas.
Dez Bryant is injury prone. We'll see. We'll see.
Yeah.
But in other NFL news, rumors are swirling after PA Democratic Representative Bob Brady claimed that the NFL draft is coming to the city of Philadelphia in 2017. God. Yeah.
Ooh, yeah, that's going to be a boo.
Lots of booze.
Get ready.
But he also revealed some oddly specific details. He says that the NFL would build a temporary stage on the Ben Franklin Parkway with temporary seating for 3,000 spectators.
No.
The NFL, however, claims that there are no deals in place, so nothing is final.
Nope.
What do you make of these rumors? Not happening at all?
Nope.
We'll see.
Not like that.
Well, we'll see. 2017 isn't that far away. We'll see what the NFL has to say about that. Finally, to wrap it up, in NBA news, San Antonio Spurs star Tim Duncan retires from the NBA after 19 years.
All-star.
He was a 5-time NBA champion, 15-time All-star, 14th all-time point scorer.
Oh, that is the first time we went over.
It was the first time.
Oh, man. Oh.
Well, Tim Duncan retired.
Yeah.
But I only missed it by, like, a few seconds.
Yep, but not
enough. I tried.
But hey, that was good. That was a good streak we had.
It's like the 2-minute, 13-second drill.
No, you're Andy Reid. You can't manage the clock.
It's a Philadelphia thing, Rich. It's a Philadelphia thing.
He couldn't manage.
I don't believe
the clock.
In ties either.
Yeah.
Andy Reid. What do you mean we could tie?
Well, that was McNabb.
Donovan McNabb.
That was really more McNabb.
But the coach. How does the coach not tell him, hey, guys, we can tie. You better try and win.
Yeah, you're a protege of Andy Reid. There you go.
Thanks? Question yeah. mark?
Like, I don't know. Is that a compliment?
The most winningest coach, but also obsessed with chicken cheesesteaks. So,
yeah, good need.
Although
cheesesteak,
the cheesesteaks are good.
I need good need French fries, onion rings.
It falls to me. I have to do a better job of eating my cheesesteak.
I have to order.
I have to
get my order correct.
Make sure I have to make sure to say whiz with.
yes, or it's not going to get sorted out right. All right, thank you.
Anyway.
Thank you for that update, Mr.
Thank you, Andy Reid. Get the hell out of here.
Yes.
moving quickly along in sports, though, I mean, you know, it's the middle of the summer, so there's not a lot of sports talk going on, but there are some very exciting events happening in the world of sports.
Yeah!
One that I'm really, you can tell by how excited Rich is, you can tell that it's going to be something as entertaining and action-packed and adventurous as golf.
Yeah, that's right, Mike. This weekend is the British Open, otherwise regally called as the Open.
Whoa.
Yeah, they're fancy. They
so fancy, allowed, they can drop the British part of it.
Yeah, so.
There's other Opens.
But this is the Open.
That's
okay?
Stupid. This is, was it the first one?
This originated in...
But was it the first one?
In Britain and in Scotland and the UK and all that fun jazz.
But was it the first one?
Yeah.
It was?
That's why it's the Open.
Yeah.
The Open. Pay attention to the article.
You can't say the Open. There's other Opens. You could say one of the Opens.
No, this is the Open. We were first, okay? Hello?
Well, why is the British branch of the PGA
turned into Valley
very
Girls.
Flamboyant? Hello?
Hello?
We are the Open. Oh, yeah. My gosh.
All right. Pay attention.
That's like the complete antithesis of what you think British is.
Yeah.
Usually you think British is like, yes, we are the Open.
Yeah. Well,
indubitably.
Yes. The British Open this weekend.
Anyway, golf stuff. Go ahead. You lead this one. I don't know why I'm talking.
The British Open is this weekend, and it's the third major of the year. Looking forward to this one. So what we usually do for the majors is I like to give you the odds because usually Vegas can nail down who's going to be in the running, who you should keep an eye out for.
They're usually pretty good at that, I've noticed in our reporting of everything.
Yep.
They're usually pretty accurate who's going to be there at the end.
Right. The overwhelming favorites for this year's British Open are the U.S. Open champion, Dustin Johnson, obviously, coming off of his major win.
Right.
Disregarding the penalty scenario. Remember that? That was a couple weeks ago.
Was that the weird...
You got it.
I'm trying to remember now.
The gears are working in Mike's head.
Didn't he shoot like two into a lake or something, or was that somebody else?
No, that was Jordan
Spieth. That was Jordan Spieth.
No, Dustin Johnson was the one that
was
where
the
rule
that was
officials...
the fence?
No.
Oh, no, the one where the ball rolled backwards?
No.
I'm naming all the ones...
Yeah, you're naming all the ones that I showed you except the one...
What the hell happened? Was this the ant one?
No.
The one that landed on an anthill or something stupid like that?
No, will you let me finish?
Go ahead, talk.
No, Dustin Johnson, the last major at the U.S. Open, he was the guy that the USGA official said that he was all right on the green, but then like a hole later, another official came up to him and said, oh, you may have a penalty on that hole.
Yeah, that was the one where it drifted backwards.
Yeah, oh, were you about to say that? Oh,
No, I said that earlier, the one where it drifted backwards. Maybe I didn't specify
All right. Poor Mike. He was trying to get it right.
I know my golf stuff.
Yeah. All right, Mike.
The little white ball moved, and they didn't say anything about it. And then later, they're like, oh, the little white ball did move. And it's your fault.
And
it may or may not result in a penalty. We don't know yet. We need more time to decide.
Yeah. Like they said, you may or may not have a stroke penalty coming your way.
We're going to check the action replay. Do they have slow-mo for golf?
Yeah.
I can't imagine it moving any slower than it already does.
Oh, yeah. They got slow-mo
for it. The action replays take like 4 minutes to watch.
But, So Dustin Johnson coming off
That wasn't his fault, though. So that shouldn't affect his odds.
No, but it was good that he overcame it during the U.S. Open, and he remained the champion to win the U.S. Open. He's the favorite at 8-1. Then behind him is Jason Day at 9-1.
Now, is that the one that was rated overrated?
No, that was
I can't remember anything.
Ricky
golf.
Fowler.
Ricky Fowler, that's it.
Yeah. Jason Day, he won last year's PGA Championship, and he's been very consistent. He usually finishes in the top 10 for majors.
Okay.
So that's why he's higher up on here. Other favorites include the hometown favorite Rory McIlroy. He'll be in his homeland.
He was supposed to be the new Tiger Woods.
Yes. Yeah. You
and
know what?
He has the video game.
Yeah.
Right.
He took over for Tiger Woods for EA Sports.
Yeah. McIlroy. What do they call it? McIlroy, like Rory McIlroy 16 or 17.
Right. Something like that.
It's the worst name for a golf game. I'm just saying.
Well,
Lee Carvello's putting.
Yeah, from The Simpsons.
Yeah. I'm glad you got that.
Yep. Rory is at 9-1. Then it's Jordan Spieth at 10-1.
Now, he was supposed to be...
He was really supposed
to
be.
Guy, yeah.
I mean, last year, he set the golf world on fire. He won two out of the four majors last year.
And he, made in the top four of the other two, right?
Top five, yeah.
Top five, yeah.
Yeah. And then the Masters was going to be all his until... He hit two shots into the water and lost the lead at the Masters this year.
That's what I was thinking of.
Yeah. And then at the U.S. Open, not a peep from him. So this might be an interesting storyline. Is Jordan Spieth kind of feeling a little bit of the pressure now?
Yeah. Do you think it's getting to him finally? Like maybe that first year, because there were no expectations, he was able to handle the pressure.
Yeah.
But now there are expectations. Maybe now he's not as... calm and collected as people originally thought, because that's something that we talked about. I remember us talking about how he handled pressure situations, how he would come back from behind or how he would hold a close lead. But now it seems like he crumbles under those situations.
Well, he did at the Masters, yeah, by shooting those two shots in the water, which I still cannot explain. Here's the thing.
That's something I would do.
Yeah.
Come on.
After the first shot, wouldn't you realize, oh my gosh, I need to have more club to make sure I get it over the lake? You know? Like, I would rather shoot it over.
Or shoot around the lake. Or,
you know, just do anything besides hit it back in the water again.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that really, I think that might have gotten to his head a little bit. Yeah, in the U.S. Open, not a peep from him. So,
can you foresee him bouncing back? Or is this it for him for the year? Because it's pretty tough to come back from two outings like that.
It's going to be tough for Jordan, but... You know, I wouldn't underestimate
slump.
Him. Yeah, you know what?
Sophomore
You're right.
slump. He has a little bit of a down spell, but maybe he'll bring it back next year. I don't know.
Well, hold on. Let's not write him off yet because there
I'm writing him off. Watch him win. He just golfs a perfect game. 18 hole-in-ones. Holy 17 hole-in-ones. He did the whole course in 17 shots, bounced out of one hole into the next.
That's better than Kim. That's better than Kim Jong-un. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Praise the glorious leader. Yeah.
Now there is a song I haven't heard in a long time.
So there you go. Jordan Spieth at 10 to 1. Here's some other favorites in the running. Adam Scott at 22 to 1. He usually makes a run for the championship in the third or fourth round. Here's a name we haven't seen in a while. Sergio Garcia at 25 to 1.
Ever heard that name.
Sergio Garcia, he actually was in the running at the U.S. Open until Dustin Johnson pulled away. Okay. So that'll be interesting to see if maybe he can win one more major before his career comes to an end. He was a big rival of Tiger Woods in the days.
Okay.
By the way, no Tiger Woods.
At all?
Yeah, apparently.
Is he in it or just not in
no
the
news.
Odds?
No news from Tiger Woods.
So he's done. Right? And he's like, it's the Tiger Woods era ended in a fizzle.
It might be. I mean,
the whole time we've been doing this podcast, Rich, we have never talked about Tiger Woods in a positive light.
No.
This is like halfway through our fourth year.
Yeah. With Tiger Woods not going to play. So I don't know. Wow. I don't know where he stands in his career. He's 40. I mean, Jack Nicklaus. The last major he won was 45, and he's the best golfer ever to play the game.
Yeah, like even I know that name.
I think Tiger Woods is done.
He's done.
Yeah.
He had nagging injuries like a year ago, didn't he?
Yeah. He hit that branch. I remember there was a play.
Hit that branch?
Yeah, he tried to play a ball. He tried to play a ball that laid down next to the root of a tree, the root of a tree.
Right.
Branch is probably not the right word.
Okay.
The root of a tree.
Okay.
And when he came through on the swing, he hit the root.
Ooh.
And Tiger already has a bad back.
Yeah.
So the shock of him hitting something solid with his golf club probably didn't help.
That doesn't sound fun.
Yeah, so I'm sure he's not.
If people are questioning whether or not that hurts, I mean, just like.
Go
hit something really hard.
With a driver. Yeah. Go ahead. See how you feel.
Yeah.
And you have a bad back.
Yeah.
So actually somebody has to hurt your back and then you try it.
Someone has to beat you with a baseball bat.
Yeah.
And then you go do it.
Right.
Anyway. You know what the worst pain is, though, is trying to kick a football. You know when you go to do a punt and you miss?
Oh.
And you just, like, kick thin air.
Charlie Brown. Charlie Brown.
I've done that once or twice. Not proud to say it. I do want to break in here, though, because we mentioned Kim Jong-un. But,
what, do we have a news development from Kim Jong-un
no,
over there?
Kim Jong-il apparently golfed a 34.
Praise the glorious leader.
A 34, Rich.
Wow.
That's
Boy,
insane.
Man. Yeah.
That's 11 hole-in-ones.
That's not true.
What? How dare you?
Who said that? Kill the dissident!
Kill the non-believer.
Praise the glorious leader.
Anyway, back to the British Open. Back to the British Open here. We also have Henrik Stenson at 28 to 1. He's a previous winner.
Okay.
Ricky Fowler.
There
this
you
is,
go.
This is the person we mentioned.
Most overrated.
That he was voted most overrated.
But then he won.
And then the next tournament event afterwards, he won like by 5 strokes, like something ridiculous. It was great. Like that was the ultimate FU story.
Yeah. Well, that's the best you can do is if you have doubters, is prove them wrong with your actions, not try and fight them with your words. You know?
So. All right, so everyone, if you like Ricky Fowler, go crap on him online. That's what we should all
and then,
rile
and then
him up.
Place bets for him.
Yeah. So Ricky Fowler, you suck.
Yeah.
Yeah. You couldn't hit your way out of a local golf course.
What?
Yeah.
Okay. Is that like a really offensive thing for golfers?
I don't know, I guess.
Like, how dare you, good sir?
You stink.
Yeah.
Take that.
You swing that club like a guy who can't swing a club.
You swing the club like Mike.
Yeah, hey. It's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
So Ricky Fowler at 28-1. Hey, maybe if we rile him up enough, then place like $50.
Yeah,
that's 50 What's times 50? 28.
That's pretty good, right? I can't do math. But...
that's pretty good.
50 times what?
I don't know.
What is it? 50 times 28? You said?
Yeah, he's at 28-1.
That's $1,400.
There you go.
There you go.
So
what if we each do 50? What if we do? No, well then we'd have to split
it
anyway.
What you're talking about? $100? That'd be $2,800.
Yeah. I like
so there
that.
We go. Let's all rag on Ricky Fowler
and bet lots of money,
and then have him
just
win.
Empty your accounts. Put it all on him.
There you go. And we also have Justin Rose and Phil Mickelson, old lefty, at 33-1. So
okay,
there you go to round out the favorites.
All right.
So yeah, looking forward to this one.
Are there any big storylines heading into this one other than the Jordan Spieth one?
Well, Dustin Johnson, obviously. Let's see if he can continue his winning ways.
Now, how many of the majors has he won? Like, is he close to getting, what is it, the gold coat, the green coat?
No.
Isn't there, like, a grand slam? Or?
Well, hold on, wait. You're mixing up, like, eight different things.
Okay.
The coat is only for the Masters.
Okay.
You only win that for the Masters.
Okay.
Then there's the grand slam, which is, in your career, you win.
You don't get a coat?
No, you don't
Grand
get
Slam?
No, there's no coat for that. No.
Well, what did Happy Gilmore get then?
That's fake. That was completely fake. That was completely made up.
So maybe my problem with understanding golf
is you're basing it all on
Happy Gilmore.
Yeah, that might be a little bit of your problem.
Okay.
Also, you can't run up to the tee and swing. You can't do that.
And you mean obstacles don't fall down onto the green and create a mini golf like obstacle course?
Yeah.
You can't golf with Bob Barker and then get into a fist fight with him?
You definitely can't get into a fist fight with Bob Barker. You would not be allowed on the tour afterwards.
Everything I know about golf is wrong.
Yeah.
So you get a coat for the Masters, and a Grand Slam is winning all four majors. So is Johnson close to that then? He's won one.
Has he won
any of the others?
He's won the U.S. Open. That's the only one that he's won. He's finished very close at the U.S. Open in 2011, finished second. The Masters, he's finished in the top five a couple times. So
okay,
he's been dancing around another major win.
Okay, okay.
So it could be time for him to start a little tear here.
So is then everyone going to get all excited about Dustin Johnson, and then next year he's going to do nothing?
It might be.
Can you tell who I'm talking about?
Yeah, come on, Jordan. Well, here's something. Jordan hasn't won a British Open, so that would be
so. This is one of the ones that he needs to win then
for the Grand Slam. Yeah, if he wants the career Grand Slam early on, he needs the British Open and the PGA Championship, which are the two ones coming up.
So if he wins this one and the next one, then
he actually has a Grand Slam already.
Done. He can retire,
right? Well, I mean, he probably won't retire. He's young. He's like 22. He's young.
You got to go on top. Go out on top.
Go out on top.
Yeah.
Unlike someone that rhymes with Mood Woods. I don't know why.
Wow.
Brain.
Liger Goods.
Yeah, Liger Goods.
I don't know. Who could it be? Yeah, no, Tiger Woods. Yeah, he should have quit while he was ahead.
Yeah. Unlike Tiger Woods.
He had sponsorship deals. He had a couple of mistresses. That's when you quit, man. That's when you quit.
Really looking forward to this year's British Open happening this weekend. Go watch it. I think the best time to watch it is Sunday. Sunday is the jam-packed one. That's when everyone is making their moves. That's when you see players get desperate. They try shots they normally wouldn't try.
That's the last day of the thing, right?
Yeah, I'd say that's the one you definitely have to watch. Saturday is also fun, too, because that's when people are jockeying for positions after they make the cut.
Okay.
So your best bet is the weekend, Saturday and Sunday.
Okay, okay.
Friday is a little bit also because players are also trying to make the cut that you might not expect to be making the cut.
So basically what you're saying is watch the whole thing.
Just watch the whole thing.
I love how you start off, the one good day to watch is Sunday. Well, Saturday is actually really good too. Well, now they think about it, Friday is pretty good because they're doing this. And Thursday is a good day to watch too.
Thursday is the start of it. Yeah. You're so excited, you gotta watch it.
And you want to watch the pre-golf coverage on Wednesday.
Oh yeah, the practice rounds. that I never understood.
What, practice rounds? You're practicing. What don't you understand
for
about?
For the players, I do. But why
would you watch the practice?
Yeah, why would you watch the practice?
Well, they have Olympic trials on TV right now.
Oh, all right. Well, there you
go. So it's the same thing. You're seeing, you know, if you want to bet now, see if you were really into golf gambling, you would watch the practice rounds and say, okay, how are they golfing on this course?
Ah.
And then you place your bets.
Okay. Well, then maybe we'll keep an eye on, yeah. on
it's
the
a week-long event.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. I could watch it all weekend.
Now, football could do that. That would be amazing.
You're almost there.
Thursday night football.
Thursday night football.
Sometimes Saturday. You got Sunday. You got Monday. Monday.
You're almost there. You just need something Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday. You're almost there.
Come on, NFL. You guys can do it. Yeah, you got the money. You have the resources. Make it happen. Expand the league to 40 teams.
All right. Well, hold on. Mike is getting a little bit too carried away here, which is a good sign that we should probably take a break. But thank you for listening to my random golf talk.
You thanking me or them?
But everybody.
Everybody.
I love golf.
We all bear and grin it together, guys, as Rich rambles about his golf.
Yes.
I love that idea. Me and the fans united in solidarity.
Thank you.
It's always fun talking about golf, you know, because you know a lot about it. I know nothing about it. So it makes a good combination, you know?
Yeah. But that will wrap up the sports sampler for now. But don't go anywhere, because coming up next, we have the entertainment entree and then the non-fortune cookie odd news. We'll be right back.
Hey, what do you hear? What do you say? This is Vic DiBattista, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
A wanted man in Tennessee was found inside the closet of another person's home, just sitting there enjoying a bowl of salad with lettuce.
But in here, I have lettuce. Yes, three-leaf lettuce going all over the place.
54-year-old Timothy Black was wanted in Monroe County on charges of shoplifting. An investigation led deputies to a home in McKinn County where they said Black was hiding inside a unlit closet with a bowl of lettuce right in his hand.
So he's sitting in the pitch black of this closet just eating lettuce.
Yep. You got to enjoy your salad in the dark, obviously.
Hello, lettuce, my old friend.
I've got your dressing once again.
Hello, lettuce, my old friend. I've got your pal carrots once again.
Sheriff Joe Guy told the news outlets that a responding deputy had to tell Black to put the fork down because it could be used as a weapon.
Put the fork down!
Put the fork down now!
And drop those croutons! He's got croutons!
Go, go, go!
Crouton neutralized, sir.
My God, he's got cucumbers!
Oh my God, that's a cherry tomato! Did he have bacon bits?
Oh God, sir, I can't get through all the crunchiness!
It's too crunchy! Sir, step away from the salad!
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
I gotta get the Crispy Noodle Podcast. I gotta get the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Oh my God! I gotta hit the Crispy Noodle Podcast! They said podcast!
Oh, yeah, we are back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast, rocking and rolling. We are done the sports sampler. We went over the world of golf with the British Open coming up this weekend. But now we move on to our next segment, the second part of our show. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. It's the main course of this meal for your mind. It's time for the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You were the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
this annoying colorful wheel that keeps on spinning every time you want to go on the computer. What the f***? Who says shut the computer, restart the computer? You do that, you come back and it's still there. How f***ing annoying when you really desperately need the computer and you gotta watch this fucking thing just spin and spin. It doesn't stop. It's so annoying. What is this? What is it? What is it? A f***ing hurricane flying over Key West? Holy shit, they gotta do something better with this f***ing wheel. It's f***ing wheel just spins. They got it with all the technology. They can't come up with a better thing for not to look at this f***ing wheel that keeps on spinning. That's what ticks me off.
Oh, there you go.
That was great.
A random so, rant.
Another Vic DiPetetto rant.
Yeah. Very quick. Less than a minute, right to the point. He apparently doesn't like the rotating rainbow wheel on Macintosh.
Yeah, no, it can be quite frustrating when you're trying to do something. You get that little spinny wheel. Now, you see, this is like a meme on the internet, but I don't get it because, like, I get it sometimes, but I don't really get it that often. But when you do get it, you know that something is wrong. Because if it's hanging that long, you get the little wheel, you're like, oh, come on. Because usually
yeah, you're the Mac expert.
I have a Mac, yeah, so I use it a lot. And usually everything works fine, but when I get the little wheel, it means that the program is going to, like,
die
on me. Yeah.
Death is coming.
But it doesn't happen that often. But I will say, though, that there's nothing more frustrating in the world than having to wait for a computer. Isn't that weird?
Yeah. Because it's almost... Here's the thing, like, you don't want to start another project while the computer's loading.
Yeah.
Because if you do, then you're not going to do what you wanted to go on the computer for. But at the same time, you're bored, so you want to do something. Yeah, I get it. I completely get it.
Yeah. And, like,
it's you're in that medium of, like, there's not enough to entertain you for a little bit, but you don't want to entertain, you don't want something that'll entertain you for a while.
Yeah. Yeah. Or if you're just trying to find information on something, and then the computer's got to do its thing, you know? Back in the old days of Windows 95 and Windows XP, that stupid little hourglass.
Oh, the hourglass, yeah.
Just flipping and flipping and flipping. Yeah, every computer has a cute little gimmicky way of telling you, yeah, you're going to be waiting here for a while, buddy. Yeah. Whether it's a spinning beach ball of death or the nonstop turning hourglass.
Yeah, take a seat.
what do modern Windows have? Isn't it just like a little glowy blue circle?
Yeah, it's a glowy blue circle.
Yeah. I guess that's less irritating than a rainbow ball.
Why is it all circles? Everything is a circle.
Why don't they have a big flashing red X that says, screw you?
Yeah, don't go anywhere.
A giant middle finger that just spins in the middle of the screen.
Yeah. Go watch a TV show.
Yeah, you're not going to be using me anytime soon. The giant spinning middle finger.
Pull up a seat. You're going to be here a while.
You know what I always hated? I always hated the stupid Windows updates.
Oh, yeah.
They always strike, man. That's the one thing I will say about Macs.
They are annoying.
I usually don't get a lot of updates, but Windows updates, you know why? Because they try to, like, stealth update, too. I know this because I use a lot of Windows PCs when I'm at work. And they'll pop up that little window, like, restarting now. And it'll just, like, close down on you. Like, really?
Yep.
You're going to restart right now in the middle of whatever I was working on?
Yeah, that is annoying.
Yeah. But I totally get where Vic is coming from. There's nothing worse than tech problems in general. It's just so frustrating.
And it's worse the wait. Like, you're just, what do you do?
It's weird, though, because we grew up in a generation where the internet was dial-up.
Yeah, right?
Like, you would have to wait.
Oh my gosh.
I used to have to wait 5 minutes to play one Flash game on Nickelodeon.com. Now if a website takes longer than 5 seconds, I don't go to that website.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, screw you. I don't want to. Yeah, too long. I'll go to the next Google link. Yeah. I will literally click off the website and do another Google search to try and find a different article on the same subject.
Yeah. Not worth my time.
Yeah. Isn't it weird how, like,
our attention spans are getting shorter.
It's just zero seconds.
And now kids are growing up in this era. Like, without, like, yeah. Like, I see it with my nieces and nephews. Like, their world has been nothing but iPads.
Yeah. Like, so everything is instantaneous.
Yeah. And it's like they have no patience. And it's,
yeah.
And it's like, really? That's like a skill. We need to teach patience in school.
It's just a class where you sit there for an hour.
Yeah.
You just sit there for an hour.
We need something like that because these kids don't know kids don't know how to not do nothing.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
No, it totally makes sense. Except the fact that we sound like really old people. These kids nowadays.
Back in my day.
Back in my day, we waited 5 minutes to play a... I was going to say flippy, a bad word.
A flippy flashy game.
A flippin' flash game.
Flippin' a flash.
And we didn't have the curse words you whippersnappers have nowadays.
Yeah, we had to invent our own.
Yeah.
Like frickin'.
And shnikes.
Yeah, that's right. Shnikes.
Holy shnikes. Sugar honey iced tea.
Yeah, the 90s were loaded with...
The 90s had the worst curse words ever.
Holy shnikes.
Frickin'. Frickin'. Yeah.
Austin Powers had the frickin'. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. Hey. Yeah, you have to do what you can to
you gotta
avoid
do what you
senses.
Can to survive. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh man, now kids are just like
F you.
Kids are awful.
Yeah.
Between the patients and now I sound like a really old person. What?
I hope I don't embarrass my sister.
Oh
but
no.
We did have the incident. One of the kids dropped the F bomb.
Whoa.
Yeah. Like
boy.
I was kind of expecting like it would like go in like a scale of intensity. Like
I start small, like damn.
Right.
Like you'd hear them under their breath, like, oh damn.
Yeah, or like
or the S word, which we somehow can't say.
Right. But yeah, this one, I'm not gonna say which one it is, but this one went right to the F bomb.
Wow.
And he said like F you. I was like, oh my God.
Listen here.
Yeah, like
listen here, Uncle Rich. F you.
No, he didn't say it to me.
Okay.
No, he didn't say it to me.
You probably just would have laughed and been like, right on.
I kind of did when I heard the story. And my poor sister's like, that's not funny. And I mean, like, I understand, like, as a parent, that mortifies you.
Yeah, yeah. Like, well, you don't want it to be I'm like laughing. Your kid. But you know, here's the thing. You hear your kid say it, right? And it's like, you don't want your kid to be like the 8 or 9 year old using the F word in the schoolyard. But here's the thing. They're already using it on the schoolyard.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, think back to when we were kids.
They all know.
Everybody knows.
For one brief moment, I saw all the bolts silhouetted against the lights of the traffic, and then they were gone.
Oh, fudge.
Only I didn't say fudge. I said the word, the big one, the queen mother of dirty words, the F-dash-dash-dash word.
What did you say? That's what I thought you said.
Yep, the F-dash-dash.
I love that movie. I can't help but smile listening to that. Because it perfectly sums up everything you go through as a kid.
Yeah.
You know? Everybody's had that moment.
Uh-huh.
Everybody's had that moment.
When you curse in front of your parents.
For the very first time, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's the end of the world, and now we sit around dinner, F this, F... No, I'm kidding. Not really. But, my mom's gonna hate me for that. But, you know, it's... they're just words, you know?
Yeah.
When you think about it.
You can't
use them in business meetings. You can't use them in places of worship. But
well,
that's
unless you're at a car dealership.
But that's personal experience.
Yeah.
Now listen here, you mother effer. You're going to buy this car, whether you like it or not.
Oh no, sales meetings is loaded with
oh boy,
interesting language.
You got to meet your damn quotas.
Oh yeah.
You ass wipes.
There you go. You can say that.
You're like, when did you start working at a car dealership? Oh, boy.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I thought that was a funny tie-in since we were talking about curse words.
Man,
the very first time you curse in front of your parents. Yeah. It is like a momentous occasion.
It is. But you see, kids have had lots of practice before that. The first time you do it in front of your parents is a big thing, but usually kids curse for like 2-3 years before that.
Oh, yeah.
Probably. Easily.
Parents, the first time you ever heard your child curse, it's actually 2 or 3 years in the making.
That's nothing. They're a veteran at that point.
Yeah.
They're a veteran.
Yeah. It just happened to slip.
And the funny thing is, the kids learn it from the parents. That's where I first learned it. Now my mom's really going to kill me.
Uh-oh.
Oh, come on. Come on. You know. You know,
don't you drag me into this.
Where did you first
don't
hear?
Don't you drag me into this.
Where did you first hear your curse words?
Probably my dad.
There you go. It's always the parents.
Yeah, but yeah. For me, it was my dad.
You can't help it. The parents get frustrated.
Or movies. I gotta admit, it was movies.
It's always in movies.
My dad was bad. He let me watch like R-rated movies.
Well, I remember like I watched like Saving Private Ryan at like 12. <You know? laughs> So I'm right there with you.
My dad, true story, my dad let me watch Scarface when I was 10. And I was like, looking back on that, I was like, how did they let that happen?
Oh, boy.
Bruno's here, our associate producer.
He's got something to add.
What story?
Something to add.
speaking
in the microphone.
I have something to add.
Okay.
Mom what? Said she overheard you. Uh-oh. I have to bleep this out, but she said, fuck you.
No, wait. What was I saying, Rich? What was I saying?
There you go.
That's a complete lie. She didn't say that. I made that up because I thought it would be funny.
Wow.
No, she probably sent him back in here to say that second one.
Our trusty associate producer giving us half-truths.
Yeah.
That's why he's our associate producer. We can't trust him on all the details.
Can't trust him at all. Can't trust him at all.
All right, so there you go. Right.
Well, that conversation got wildly off track. Let's start about Vic DiBattista with computers. It turned into like a small commentary about childhood cursing.
Sure, why not?
Why not?
That's how we roll. That's how we roll, and that's how we delve into all the topics here. So let's try and get back on topic. I think that's what Mike is trying to hint at me.
No, I just want to keep cursing.
All right. Well, don't.
No, we do have to get back on topic.
Yeah, though. Don't blatantly curse, especially in our next segment, which is Mike's segment. It's time to go over what's new in this week with movies, TVs, and video games. Folks, it's time for Mike's This Week in Entertainment.
Motherfucking pterodactyl.
Yeah!
Yeah.
More cursing happening.
Motherfucking pterodactyl. That fucking sucked. There's so many clips of me just dropping the F-bomb for no reason.
Yeah,
I'm probably just sitting. Well, the one I was just sitting there singing.
You do curse a lot.
I do. It's bad.
Foul mouth hooligan.
It's bad. You guys have no idea how hard it is to do the show sometimes. That fucking sucked. Anyway, I'm going to try and restrain my passion for obscenities and
motherfucking pterodactyl.
Bring you guys the latest in entertainment news. First up, if you're going to the movies, try not to curse in this one. Despite the controversy, Ghostbusters is coming out this week, July 15th. Everybody knows the story behind this one. It's a remake of the original, this time featuring an all-female cast. And let me tell you, this cast is amazing. Melissa McCarthy, Kristen Wiig, Kate McKinnon, Leslie Jones, all the big names from SNL, directed by Paul Feig. It's also starring Chris Hemsworth, Liam Hemsworth, one of the Hemsworths. I don't remember. Thor.
Yes,
Thor's in it. That's all you got to know. Now, here's the thing about the movie. Everybody's been ragging on it, but it has a 77 Rotten Tomatoes. It has a 6.5 average rating, so it's average. It's not as bad as everyone thought it was going to be, but it's also not great. But you know what?
It's right in the middle.
It's right in the middle. But a lot of people are saying it's basic, fun, summer action blockbuster type stuff.
Okay.
So give it a shot. If you're on the fence, give it a shot. It's Ghostbusters. It's going to be funny. It's going to have a great cast. Go check out Ghostbusters opening this week. If you're in for something a little more dramatic, maybe you want to check out The Infiltrator. It's based on a true story starring Bryan Cranston as an undercover U.S. Customs agent who sets up in Pablo Escobar's drug cartel to try and take down the legendary drug lord. It's currently got a 70 on Metacritic, but Bryan Cranston always gives an amazing performance. So if you want something a little more dramatic this weekend, go check out The Infiltrator in theaters. On TV, a Netflix exclusive premieres this Friday. Stranger Things is a paranormal, supernatural-type thriller. The 8-episode run all releases on Friday. This 80s-inspired supernatural thriller deals with the sudden disappearance of a boy. And then the search begins to uncover top-secret experiments and this creepy, mysterious young girl. And a lot of weird things start happening. So if you're into the paranormal, the supernatural, go check out Stranger Things, premiering on Netflix this Friday. But on HBO, there's also a great comedy, Vice Principals, premieres on Sunday on HBO. Rival Vice Principals compete for the top job after the principal, Bill Murray, retires. So it's a good workplace comedy that goes to an unlikely place of schools and education. I think that would be pretty funny. Go check out that one. In the world of video games, we have a couple of space-themed video games. First up, we have Kerbal Space Program, releasing on Xbox One and PlayStation 4. It is a very detailed and nuanced space flight sim where you build and fly rockets to other planets. I mean, when I say very detailed, like a degree in rocket science would probably help you play this game. You have to take into account weight and velocity and all these different numbers and trajectories, but I've watched gameplay videos of it. It looks devilishly fun with these goofy little spacemen that you get to control, and a lot of horrific explosions are going on all over the place when your spacecraft fail. Another space game, Adrift, is coming out on PlayStation 4 this week. It is a first-person exploration game in which a lone survivor must explore the wreckage of a destroyed space station to discover what happened, learn of the crew members' final moments, and finally escape back to Earth. So there you go. That wraps it up for this week in entertainment.
Earth!
Nerd!
Nerd!
What?
Nerds! That's what reminded me that last little bit.
What? With the space theme?
Yeah, you
stuff?
Started going off on weight and velocity. I was like,
yeah.
That sounds like just like a rallying cry for all the jocks back in high school.
Nerds!
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 The nerds!
Hey man, let me tell you, the nerds rule the roost nowadays.
Nowadays they do, but
they really do.
Back when we were growing up, and they weren't.
Oh man, no.
I know, because I was one.
Yeah, I know. We were all nerds growing up, and now it's like, ha! Now nerd stuff is cool.
Take that.
Probably the biggest evidence of nerd stuff being cool. Speaking of video games, and speaking of nerd stuff, everybody, and I mean everybody, must be familiar with this next topic. We're talking, of course, about Pokemon Go.
Oh yeah.
Is this the theme song from the 90s cartoon?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We're talking about Pokemon.
The very best.
Yeah.
Pokemon.
But, yeah, we got to talk about this. This is everywhere.
It really is everywhere.
The brand new game, Pokemon Go.
Yes, the brand new iOS and Android game. It's a cultural phenomenon.
Yeah, it's back.
They're reporting on it on the major news outlets. Everybody's playing. It's been downloaded more times than Tinder and Twitter.
That's impressive.
That is super impressive. I thought everybody used Twitter.
Right. We do?
Yeah. I guess now Pokemon Go's bigger than Twitter.
Bigger than Tinder, apparently.
It's probably bigger than a lot of things out there now that you think about it. But we're here just to talk a little bit about this new phenomenon and talk about, well, my experiences with the game, because I've been playing it pretty recently.
Mike is freaking addicted to this.
I am pretty addicted. So,
we were having dinner and you checked your phone, I think, 4 times. I counted.
But were you really counting?
Yeah.
Okay. It was bad. I'm playing right now.
You're playing right now?
I'm playing right now.
We're recording the damn show. You can't be playing it right now.
I'm playing right... It's not that hard to catch Pokemon, Rich. You literally... So what it is, it's an...
What are you doing?
I'm trying to catch a Pokemon.
Stop it. We're recording the podcast. Okay.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, I couldn't catch it. Are you happy now?
Yeah. Stop it.
Bastard.
We gotta talk about Pokemon.
The crab is back.
This is so meta.
Wait, hold on. Rich, I actually am catching a Pokemon right now as you speak.
Oh my gosh.
It's right in front of you. I'm gonna throw my Pokeball at it.
Where is it?
It's right by your arm.
Thanks.
Don't worry.
Yeah, but you put a Pokemon on my arm.
I put a Pokemon on your arm.
Thanks.
So, for those of you that aren't familiar with, I'm just going to play it throughout the recording of this session. So, for those of you that aren't familiar with the object of the game, Pokemon is where you go out and you catch.
There you go.
You go and
catch. I'm going to mute you if you keep playing this damn game.
I'm describing the game as I'm playing it.
Okay.
All right. So, okay. I'm done. I'm going to put the phone down. The phone is down.
Concentrate on the podcast.
I'm concentrating. It's good. So, basically, you go out. It's an augmented reality game where you go out in the actual world, and you have to use your GPS and your map to hunt down Pokemon that are not really out there, but the game places Pokemon in your real-world settings. So, for instance, if you go to, like, a small town, there's going to be a lot of Rattatas and Pidgeys and those type of Pokemon that you can catch there. And when you stumble across a Pokemon, it uses your phone's camera to use augmented reality to put that Pokemon in the scene in front of you, and you swipe to throw Pokeballs and catch it. That's the basic premise of the gameplay. Pretty simple, but it fills this desire of people our age to go back to those golden days of the original Pokemon games.
I mean, I totally get it. That is totally cool. Have some nostalgia.
It is. Because this is what you wanted Pokemon to be as a kid. You know, you wanted to go out and catch Pokemon. And now you can.
I mean, that's cool. But at the same time, here's my biggest complaint is, like, people are just stopping, like, their lives.
Yeah.
Like, I can't believe, like, it's having this effect. If you follow me on Twitter, you'll know that I made a post that I almost got into an accident because these freaking idiots in a car kept stopping in the middle of Lancaster Avenue on the main line.
It's a big road, yeah.
Like, holy crap. Like, this isn't a residential road. You're on a major artery in the mainline suburbs.
Now, how do you know they were playing Pokemon Go?
Because they were stopping in the middle of a church and these things that you delve.
Oh, okay,
you told me are Pokemon hotspots.
So there's Pokestops where...
Pokestops.
Right. They are locations where... They're like hotspots where this company has tracked a lot of data, right? Like a lot of people using data. So usually places like... shopping centers and churches.
Yeah,
and
one of them was a church.
Yeah, and oddly enough, in Ambler, all the churches are Pokemon gyms because I guess a lot of people are browsing their phones in the middle of mass.
Join the religion.
It feels like a religion. It does feel like a religion because I got to tell you this story, Rich. Part of the game is going out and exploring your local area to find the Pokemon and go to these Pokestops to get you to explore your neighborhood, but also to sort of. It's like an exercising thing and also a socializing thing because you go out and usually people end up at these Pokespots. You know, other players end up at these Pokespots and you sort of say like, oh, look, you're playing Pokemon. I'm playing Pokemon too. And I kid you not, I went on a short walk today and I saw no less than 10 people walking around playing Pokemon, walking to and from the stops. I sat down on a bench and I'm catching some Pokemon, you know, enjoying the nice day, the nice little breeze sitting in the shade. Somebody walks up, sits next to me and says, are you playing Pokemon? And I go, yeah, I'm playing Pokemon. And I kid you not, we have a half-hour conversation about Pokemon and the game and the Pokemon we've caught and what we think about the server issues and all this stuff. That never would have happened if not for the game. I really feel this is going to sound really corny, but it's really creating something special that people can get together over and like share this experience, so especially with so many people out there. With the game going right now, you're guaranteed to find people like every spot you go to.
And now you two are married.
Yes. Yeah, of course.
Sure. I'm going to bring a Hot Pocket to bed tonight then.
I left out the part where we had Hot Pockets. No, I mean... Sure, way to make
one
it...
One true love.
One true love, yeah. Way to make it weird, Rich.
Sure. I'm going to bring a Hot Pocket to bed tonight then.
But no, I'm being serious though. It's, you know, despite the joking around about it, it was a really cool experience to go out and just like meet a random person on the street and just have a conversation with just a completely random person that you never, like if you had passed them walking, you never would have stopped to talk to this person. Mm-hmm. But because of this game, you end up talking about this weird thing that you're both into. And it's like literally everyone. Like I saw people walking by, faces in their phones, swiping. You could tell they're playing Pokemon because they stop. And they look around with the phone, you know, to try and find the Pokemon, and then they start swiping. No lie, like 10, 11 people today I passed in a short walk.
So I'm going to be the more critical side of it.
Okay.
I don't mind the game. That's great. I think it's great that Pokemon's making a resurgence. I loved Pokemon when I was a kid. So yay that. But I just can't believe how much it just pauses these people's lives.
It does.
I mean, you literally see people walking down the street and they just stop and they gotta, they have to
catch a Pokemon.
They have to pull out the phone and they have to do the camera thing and they gotta do a sweep of the area or whatever the hell it is.
No, you see it on your map and then you tap it and then you catch it.
Yeah. It's like a force of nature. I've never seen anything like this.
I think, though, it really speaks to the compelling nature of the game, the concept that, I don't know, it's tapped into something that people really find engrossing, the idea of catching these little critters.
And that part's cool.
Yeah.
I'm glad
and,
that
and you,
that's
you don't good. You don't like the part where it's, like, taking over, though.
Yeah. Okay. All right? Come on. If you're driving and you're doing this crap, you're wrong.
So here's the thing.
You need to stop.
Here's the thing. If you're driving and doing that, that's a big no-no. Because there have been reports, and the game's only been out, by the way, like no more than 10 days, I think. Yeah, it's about a week. There's been reports of people getting injured by walking into stuff.
Yeah.
There's been reports of people getting into minor fender benders because...
I almost got into one?
Yeah, because they're idling. They're like rolling through areas to try and catch stuff, you know, when the rest of traffic is trying to move at normal speed.
Yeah, like, come on, I gotta get to work here.
And more sinisterly, though, some people are getting robbed.
Yeah,
that's
scary.
Late at night, people like to stroll around in the cool summer air at night, you know, understandable.
Unfortunately.
Well, here's the thing.
That's prime targets for thefts.
Exactly. And what they do, one of the features of the game is the Pokestops that I was talking about, those places where people congregate. People can add a lure that attract Pokemon to that area, and it shows up on your map. So people will go to these areas that are attracting Pokemon. So thieves will use that to draw people in and then rob them when they get there.
Yeah.
So the key is, here's some simple keys. Pay attention to where you're walking. Don't be the idiot that walks into a street sign. Two, do not do it while you're driving.
Yes.
Okay?
Please don't.
If you're riding in a car and somebody else is driving, catch as many freaking Pokemon as you want. That's what I did the other day. You know, somebody was driving and I was riding in the passenger seat. I caught like 12 Pokemon. But the other key thing is to use common sense. Don't walk into shady back alleys. Don't go out at 1 o'clock, you know, alone and go to these Pokestops that are off the beaten path.
But the man told me to go down the alley for exactly. Abracadabra or whatever. Yeah,
Abra. There is no such thing as an Abracadabra. There's Abra and there's Kadabra, Rich. Get it right.
Whatever.
You're like, whatever. Come on, you played the original 150.
I did.
Everybody our age.
Oh, yeah.
Played the original 150.
You couldn't avoid it. And now it's getting like that again.
Yeah.
It's the second coming of Pokemon.
And it's interesting because it's still, it's that original 150 again. So it's like, it's the little kids that are into it, that are into Pokemon, they're playing it because they're into it. But people in our generation, they're into it because it's like, oh man, remember when we played this when we were kids? And it has that nostalgia factor. So it's like bridging these generations. It's bringing in the nostalgic group from the older people, and it's bringing in the young kids who are playing it, and then everybody in between, just because it's like the big thing. So you literally have this swath of people as young as like 7, 8 years old, all the way up to people in like their 30s.
Oh, even but older than that?
Even older. I saw a picture on Reddit. There was like a whole group of people, all different races, all different ages. There was an old guy standing there with like all these hip, like teens and 20-somethings.
It should have been a poster for We Are the World or something.
It really should have been.
You know?
But like,
we are the world. We are the Pokemon Masters. Yeah.
Everyone's holding hands and swaying like, oh, wait, we got to stop. There's a Bulbasaur nearby.
We are the... Oh, got to stop the song. We got to catch this Pokemon.
Yeah. But I think, though, it's really a powerful cultural experience now where it is this weird thing. It's like this resurgence that's bringing people together. And it's... Like I said, I had that weird experience where I sat down and talked with a guy for half an hour about Pokemon. Somebody passed me on the street the other day, and he was like, yo, what team are you on? And I knew exactly what he was talking about. Just like these odd experiences that you wouldn't have
if this game... What team are you on?
I'm on Team Valor, Red.
Which is what, Red?
Team Red, yeah.
Ooh, okay. Is that good? I have no idea.
No, it's bad. Ambler is all Team Blue.
Oh, you're the outcast here in Ambler.
Yeah,
now.
There's like four gyms.
Mike has to go on the run.
Yeah, nobody's Team Yellow though. I feel bad for Team Yellow. But yeah, I have to go on the run. I don't know where I'm gonna run to, but somewhere where there's more Team Red people around, I guess. But yeah, it's been a huge, huge game in. It's like this pop culture phenomenon. And Rich, I can't stress enough, you really got to give it a shot. It is addictively simple. Like, look, I literally did catch a Pokemon while we were talking about this.
Are you serious?
Yeah, at the beginning of the segment.
Stop
I did.
Stop it!
At the beginning
of the segment. We have to do the podcast!
The point I'm making, though, is that you can do it in like 30 seconds. It's real quick. You know, it's this real quick game.
How many did you catch while I was talking about golf?
Zero. I was actually very attentive when you were talking about golf.
Aw, thanks, Mike.
Okay, it was three. No,
damn it!
No, I didn't catch any. I did catch two at dinner, though.
I caught two at dinner.
Yeah.
Sure. All right, well.
It's a blast. I highly recommend it for anybody out there. Now, here's the thing. I'm not a big Pokemon fan, because I played the original games, and then I never played Pokemon again, except for now.
There you go. Bringing it back full circle.
Bringing it back, yeah.
So, yeah, right now, Pokemon Go is out.
The very best.
Mike is addicted to it.
I am addicted. If you guys don't hear from me next week, it's because I got hit by a car going to catch a Charmander or something.
Jeez. Well, just do like we said. Use common sense.
Yes.
And please, for the love of God, don't do this while you're driving, or else
no.
I'm going to slash your tires.
Yeah, common sense, people.
I'm giving everyone fair warning. The next person that stops stops traffic in the middle of my morning commute is going to get their tires slashed.
Well, how are you gonna slash their tires from inside your car?
Because they're gonna stop the car, and I'm gonna get out, and your tires are gonna get slashed.
Wow,
Pokemon! How do you like that?
Pokemon slash your tires.
Yeah,
Rich uses slash.
It's effective. Take that, you son of a bitch!
Pokemon car was disabled.
Yeah. All right, that's what's gonna happen. All right. So. please just be careful while you're doing your Pokemon Go. All right. A PSA from the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Yeah, enjoy the game, but within reason.
Yes. All right.
But, there's another real quick topic you had.
Yeah.
That you wanted to get to.
Yeah, I want to do this because I'm a big fan of Ricky Gervais and a big fan of The Office. And this was actually one of our very first news stories, if you remember, a long time ago.
Okay.
Was the fact that Ricky Gervais was toying with this idea of finding a way to bring back David Brent.
Okay.
His famous character from the British version of The Office.
Right. And he did that by, if I recall, he would upload songs that the character David Brent was writing and recording, right?
Yes. It was a short YouTube series called Learn Guitar with David Brent, and he would sing these ridiculous songs.
Okay.
Well, he went dormant for a little bit.
Okay.
But now he has made a return.
Ooh, a glorious comeback.
Yep, and has announced that David Brent is going to have his own movie.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So just David Brent. This isn't the UK Office. This is just David Brent.
Right, it's just David Brent.
Okay.
And it will be released in UK theaters this month, but in August it will come out worldwide on Netflix.
Oh, so nice. Is this a Netflix exclusive then?
Yeah, we will get a chance to see it in August.
Okay.
And as such, Ricky Gervais has teased us with the first official song that's going to come from the David Brent mockumentary rock drama.
All right.
And the teaser song is called Lady Gypsy. So
okay, sounds
interesting. This is not one that he's played in the YouTube series. This is completely new.
Okay, so brand new.
Yeah,
everybody can go check it out on YouTube. But we're going to take a little listen here, right?
Yep, little
to
listen.
Sample this song.
So we're going to play a little clip here. This is Lady Gypsy from the new movie David Brent Life on the Road. Here it is. Hope you enjoy.
I lost my heart to a lady gypsy so long ago. I forget her name, but I still remember the smell of the flowers and the way my life would never be the same. She laid me down on a bed of heather. She said, please be careful, this is what I sell. I said, you're a hooker. She said, no, I mean the heather. I sell the heather like a lucky spell. I said, but to be clear then, the sex is free. Yes, she said, yes, the sex is free. The heather's a pound. I said, I don't need no heather. And if I did, I would just pick some. It's free. It's growing in the ground. I lost my heart to a lady gypsy so long ago. I forget her name, but I still remember the smell of the flowers and the way my life would never be the same.
Yeah.
That was really good.
That's so romantic.
It really is. Well, you know, although I have to say, joking aside, that was legitimately like, no,
yeah.
Come here. The refrain, that's like a 1970s soft rock ballad.
Yeah,
he hits
it right on the nose.
He does. And this is what I love about this song, is it has moments where it's like, this could be an actual song.
Yeah.
This could be a real song. And then he gets to, you know, the meat of the song, the lyrics, and you go, there's the comedy.
Yeah. just to be clear, which is free.
So you're a hooker. No, I'm not. I sell the heather or whatever she said. But I love that balance he strikes between this could be a real song and this is still, you know, like this quirky comedy.
Yeah.
And I love that brand of humor too, where it's like, you know, because a lot of songs, like they go the route where it's like tell the story, you know, they give a story of like an encounter or whatever. But he takes it like a step further. Instead of telling the story of the encounter, he like literally like breaks
painfully explains
line by line of dialogue what they're saying to each other. And it's like, and it's not like important things.
No.
This is like this awkward conversation.
Yeah.
You know, like, well, I could pick the heather.
Yes,
it's coming out of the ground. But yeah, that was fantastic. And that was, once again, that's Lady Gypsy, right?
Yeah, the song is called Lady Gypsy.
Okay.
And yeah, that's going to be one of the featured songs in David Brent Life on the Road. And he's doing this, he's doing a full-blown movie, right. A full-blown album.
Yeah, because he has a whole bunch of other songs that he already wrote, right?
Yeah.
I always liked Life on the Road, the actual song, Life on
right,
the Road.
Which is what the title of the movie's going to be.
Take a heavy load. Yeah. I can't remember the lyrics. Foot down to the floor.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, right. That's it.
70 miles an hour.
But no more. No more.
Yeah.
So yeah, he points out like obvious facts in the middle of the song. Yeah.
I also like the one, I'm sorry, I'm going way off track, but I like the one where it goes, ooh la la la.
That's a good one.
Ooh la la la.
That song doesn't
la,
make
la,
any
la,
sense.
Yeah, and he's like, it's gonna be a beautiful day. And at the end of the song, he goes, should have called a beautiful day.
Yeah.
It's
so,
a great song.
You gotta check it out. I'm a big fan of all this, mockumentary music is what they're calling it. Because yeah, you're right. It does
it's
sound
better
like,
than most other songs.
It sounds like it could be like an actual 70s rock music band or
yeah,
something.
Yeah. Now remember the segment we did where we listened to actors who did songs?
Yeah.
They were awful. This is an actor trying to make awful songs,
but it's actually
and
good.
They're like 100 times better than the actors trying to make legit songs.
Yeah. Go figure.
Like but that shows his genius. Like Ricky Gervais is, he's just got a great mind for that type of stuff.
Yeah. Which is why I have full faith in this movie. Some people are wondering, you know, because it's going to be a spinoff of The Office.
Right, it's not
is
The
it
Office.
Be good?
So yeah. Does it acknowledge right. The Office?
Oh, yeah,
or...
it will acknowledge The Office, but it's not The Office. It's
I
not,
still haven't seen the UK Office.
It's not David Brent in The Office. So okay. People are wondering, is it going to have the same flares? Is it still going to be as funny? I have faith. Ricky Gervais,
I'm sure it will.
Ricky Gervais usually comes through on matters like these, so
yeah,
I'm looking forward to it. Life on the Road hits Netflix in August, and the album also in August. So I can't wait to listen to the full album. But for right now, that'll do it for the Entertainment Entree. A wide range of topics we covered in that Entertainment Entree.
Computers and cursing
and
Pokemon and music.
Yeah, boy, we're the complete package here.
We got all four main topics. That's all there is.
Yeah. But there is one more thing that we still have left to do, and that is your weekly dose of odd news that you need to hear. So don't go anywhere, because coming up next, I have the non-fortune cookie odd news that you got to listen to, because it'll make you laugh. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Tony Gaga. You got a podcast? You gotta go to the podcast I go to. I'll get you this podcast for $2. That's the Crispy Noodle Podcast for $2.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
A scuba diver in Florida is suing a utility company after he was sucked into a quarter-mile-long pipe that took him inside a nuclear power plant.
No, you don't get to sue the utility company for that. You're just stupid.
Christopher Leakin said he was scuba diving off the coast of Hutchinson Island when he went down to investigate three large shadows underneath a yellow buoy.
Yellow, isn't it like a warning color?
Yeah.
You're an idiot. There were radioactive symbols everywhere.
I thought it meant go closer.
Yeah. Okay, that's what radioactivity means. This must be like the place where they take in the water to put in the cooling towers.
Probably.
He could have been like the Hulk.
The swimming Hulk.
Do you think Hulk is afraid of water? He's all muscle. I don't think he could swim.
Yeah, I don't know. Has the Hulk ever swam?
Avengers 3. Hulk takes swimming lessons. Black Widow's like, come on, you can do it, Hulk. Hulk, swim!
Hulk, drown!
Hulk, drown!
Hulk, drown!
He uses his last breath. Oh my god.
Hulk drown. Maybe he gets sucked back into the nuclear power plant.
Double Hulk,
yeah.
Hulkception?
Hulk, no understand plot of movie.
Hulk have existential crisis about concept of reality. And then Hulk drown. best line of dialogue Hulk has ever had.
Hulk, not no sound effect. Hulk, want to know if top fall over?
Oh, man. Hulkception.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
This is Guardian Shield, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Yeah, we are back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Mike checks his Pokemon Go. Make sure that everything's all right.
There was no there were no Pokemon stumbling around during the break, unfortunately.
Oh, that's a shame for Mike.
I hope you realize every episode we record until Pokemon Go is no longer a thing, I'm going to give you updates.
Great. Well, keep...
you're so thrilled. You're like, great.
Keep those coming. I like this update.
What update?
A new pickup line for the summer of 2016. Girl, there's a Pokemon in your pants, and I gotta catch it. So
you gotta catch them all.
Yeah, man, and that includes your pants. So
yeah,
it's you know what? I might have to use Pokemon Go then.
It's a cloister.
What's a cloister?
It's an actual Pokemon that looks like a vagina.
All right, you're gonna have to Google that one on your own. Then.
Jamie's looking at me like horrified.
Yeah, our associate producer. We're gonna have to Google that one later on. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Look on it. I'm gonna send you a link, Rich.
Oh dear God.
I'm gonna take a picture and send
it to you. Fan-frickin-tastic. All right. Well, while you're sending that picture over, I'll take care of this while you're doing your important Pokemon work. Because, you know, we still have one portion left of the show where we go over the craziest odd news that I can find that Mike hasn't heard. Let's launch into it, folks. It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene. But maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool, uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
My nipples look like milk duds.
Holy shnikes.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
It's not of this world. I don't know exactly what it is or what it's doing, but this is not human intelligence, okay? It's not human intelligence we're facing!
How you doing? Me? I'm doing great.
Manda de bastata. I don't make this stuff up.
I'll take a pound of nuts.
That's a lot of nuts! That'll be $4, baby! You want fries with that?
I've seen the celery dance across the baseball fields.
You had me at meat tornado.
No, go past this. Past this part. In fact, never play this again.
Okay. what does that mean?
And now it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders. Go to the bathroom because you're in for hell of a ride.
All right, before we go over the odd news, Mike sent me over a picture of a cloister. If the hoo-ha's looking like that, do not
stick... Well, without the spiky things,
do not stick
Rich.
Your sausage in there. That's not going to work. That shouldn't go that route.
It's not a perfect one-to-one reinterpretation of it. Why? JP's just giving me horrified looks.
We're destroying his childhood, apparently. But yeah, don't stick your diglet in there.
I'm not telling you to stick your diglet in there. I'm just saying there have been comparisons drawn to it before.
Okay.
Anyway.
Still creepy. All right. Let's,
it is definitely creepy, but that's why we're going to be moving along. No longer talking about Pokemon. We're going to be talking about odd news. If those of you that aren't familiar with the non-fortune cookie odd news, Rich researches the news. He reads the news and I react to the news. I have never heard these stories before. He finds them and he hides them from me. So all my reactions are my genuine gut reactions to hearing these stories for the first time. I don't know what's about to happen. You guys don't know what's about to happen. And Rich doesn't even know what's about to happen because these stories always take us down weird and wacky paths. And I'm ready to hear the first story. So I'm ready to be taken on a journey of odd news. What do you got for us?
All right. Let's launch into this story here first. Going to Tennessee to start off the show.
Yo, we're from Tennessee.
It's good to yell at people and tell them you're from Tennessee. That way you'll be safe.
Yeah, you can be safe in Tennessee.
Yeah, just tell them you're from Tennessee.
But unfortunately not for this story here, not for this mannequin. Going to start off with a story with a mannequin here.
The mannequin isn't safe?
Yep.
Okay.
Metro police said that a man they arrested Monday morning was found in bed with an old hickory stolen mannequin from a lingerie store.
What? He stole a mannequin.
Yep.
And then he was found in bed with it.
Yeah.
I mean, I know they're very shapely and, you know, they have like a very nice figure, but I mean, that's worse than the cloister.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Officers were called.
What are you going to do with a mannequin?
Officers were called to the Hustler Hollywood store on Monday morning. According to the police affidavit, the clerk told officers that an intoxicated man walked into the store just after midnight and dragged a mannequin into the parking lot, knocking off the mannequin's left arm in the process.
Oh my gosh.
Brutal.
So violent.
Absolutely brutal here.
That's horrible.
The police statement said that the clerk argued with the man for several minutes before the man put the mannequin in the back of the truck and left. Police tracked the vehicle to his home, where they reportedly found 55-year-old Christopher Wade in bed with the stolen mannequin, cuddling up with it.
Maybe he thought it was a real person.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Maybe he thought it was a real person. Because they're dressed up sometimes. Yeah,
and the left arm comes off.
Well, you know, accidents happen. Now, have you ever been in a store and you, like, turn around and you're, like, not really, like... You're not thinking about it. And you're like, oh my God, there's a person standing up on the table. It's like, oh no, it's just a mannequin. So maybe
was this the Elaine episode? The mannequin that looks like Elaine episode in Seinfeld.
That was an episode.
Yeah,
really.
Uh huh. There was a mannequin that looks like Elaine.
I don't remember that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, but maybe it's something like that. And maybe he thought like, oh, you know, this is a pretty lady. I'm going to take her, and he grabs her. And he doesn't bother to look at her face, you know, because he wasn't really thinking about that at the time.
I know it's something to do with sex.
The left arm coming off should have been a dead giveaway, though.
Yeah, that should have...
Not many women, like, lose their arms.
Yeah, without blood or something like that. Blood, you know?
Yeah. Oh, my arm fell off. Hold on a second.
Yeah, let me just reattach that.
Oh, man. Nothing against the blood pumping, like, attaching limbs.
Here's something that I didn't know. The value of this mannequin was $5,000.
No, it wasn't.
According to the police report, $5,000. Yeah, I didn't think they were that expensive.
They're just giant plastic people.
Yeah, unless it's like a sex doll or something. Like $5,000 for a mannequin?
Might be a sex doll.
No, it's not. Because, well, I mean, I don't know. It is.
Yeah, didn't you say this place was called Hustler?
Yeah, it's in a store called Hustler Hollywood, which is a lingerie store. So maybe it... might have been lifelike in all ways than one. Maybe it had its own Clodstein or whatever.
Cloister,
whatever.
Don't you call it a Clodstein?
Whatever the hell this Pokemon's called. Stupid Pokemon. Cloister, whatever.
Cloister,
whatever. Anyway. Wade will face charges for theft and criminal trespassing. So.
Wow.
Don't steal.
I can't believe the mannequin was $5,000, though.
Yeah, that seems really expensive for a mannequin.
That's the oddest thing about that. Not the person stealing it, because it's like...
Or cuddling with it in bed.
You know, maybe he just... I don't know. I can't really explain that part of it. But the weirdest thing is still the $5,000 thing.
Yeah, I didn't know they were that expensive.
Yeah. Maybe that's, like, a good thing to steal. Don't steal the actual clothing. Steal the mannequins.
Yeah, if they're worth that much. I don't know
how you get away with stealing a mannequin, but if you can figure it out, let me know.
With the left arm intact. We need that left arm.
The left arm is $1,000 on its own. Each limb is $1,000. Then the body is $1,000. I figured it out.
There you go.
I'm a genius. Do you ever see the mannequins that don't have arms, though?
Yeah, that's a little creepy.
Are they worth less?
I guess so. There's no arms.
Are they only worth, like, $2,500?
Yeah. How can you display jewelry on the arms? I don't know.
Usually it's to display clothing.
Yeah. but I don't know. I don't know. I'm not an expert in mannequins.
Do you think that dressing the mannequins would be a creepy job?
No, if you work at a store, no, that's your job.
I don't know, something about it. Just like, I don't like mannequins because they're freaky. They're like, and they're in lots of scary video games. There's mannequins.
Oh, what's was it Slender Man? Wasn't that a mannequin?
It looked like a mannequin, yeah, because it was like this pale, like featureless face.
Yeah,
very mannequin like. Yeah, yeah.
Maybe that's where your
I don't know. Mannequins are just creepy. Just in general, these like weird, like faceless human people. I don't know. They're just weird.
Maybe, I don't know.
Anyway. You don't think mannequins are weird?
I don't know. I never really thought about it.
You don't think
no.
dressing a mannequin would be weird? You're dressing a giant plastic dude or a giant plastic girl?
No, not if it's your job. Now, if some random guy comes in and...
If some random guy is dressing and undressing mannequins,
right.
Definitely.
Yeah, that's a little creepy. But if it's your job, no, I don't see what the problem is.
I always think it's funny, though, when you see like pictures of kids that are like taking the clothes off mannequins.
Yeah.
Curious kids like, oh, what's under here?
Is that a boob?
Ooh. Yeah, yeah.
And then you got
kids are curious, you
and
know?
And then you got the kid that's like 6 months older. 6 months older. He's like, oh, yeah, that's a boob.
Why is this 6 month old talking like he's smoking a pack a day?
Because he's tough.
Oh, yeah, that's a boob right there.
Right.
I know my boobs. That's not a milk bear boob, though. Right. They're a little fuller.
Right, he's supposed to be tougher.
Yeah, a tougher, a 6 month old, real tough. Arr. Listen here.
That's a boob.
Now that's a boob. That's not a boob.
There you go.
That's a boob. What is. Why? Our associate producer is the least helpful person ever.
Yeah,
literally the least helpful person ever. What is he even, what's he doing? What is it a picture
he's
of?
He's playing Pokemon Go. Everyone's playing Pokemon Go.
That's a great picture. It's a picture of a guy dressed up like Pikachu.
Good. Excellent.
Rich is like, good, go away.
All right. Anyway,
I'm telling you, Pokemon Go is going to be in the odd news like next week.
Probably.
You watch.
Someone's going to.
Is it in the odd news this week? Just tell me right now.
No, but okay. But I bet you, yeah, next week someone's going to run into a car or run into a fence or some crap. I don't know.
You get really heated about it.
Because it's going to happen. Someone's going to die because of Pokemon Go.
Wow.
It's going to happen.
That would be very grim. Yeah.
It's going to happen. I can already bet you money. I'm willing to...
I would not be surprised.
Yeah.
I would not be surprised.
I'll bet you $50. Like, it's already going to happen. I can guarantee it.
It's happening right now as we're speaking,
yeah,
probably.
Probably. Morbid. Right,
calm down. Calm down. You get really heated about that. Focus on the odd news.
Yeah, odd news.
Go to your happy place. Go to the odd news place.
All right.
The next story is like, naked man robs a preschool.
No. All right. Ready for our next story here?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. This one going to England. Going to England on this one.
Jolly old England.
Yep. We're having the British Open.
Pip, pip cheerio. The Open, my good friend.
The Open. That's correct.
The Open.
This one's a weird story. A British woman who was suffering unexplained abdominal pain for months cried with relief after doctors removed a 14-pound hairball from her stomach.
This cannot be made good. It's shameful. It's a shameful, shameful day!
Oh, that's gross.
This is very gross.
Also, 14 pounds?
Yeah. That's a lot.
That's giving me... That's making my stomach hurt just thinking about it.
23-year-old Sophie Cox of Gloucestershire told the local newspaper that the giant ball of human hair was built up over 7 years of eating her own hair.
Oh, God.
6 years ago, Cox was diagnosed with trichotillomania.
Yeah, that's
a
real
condition
thing.
Where sufferers have a compulsive urge to pull out their hair.
Yeah.
And then trichophagia, where they eat it. I hope I said that right. These are really long words.
I don't like... Did you ever get a hair, like, in your mouth?
Yeah, I don't like it.
I don't like... I can't imagine eating that.
Yeah.
I would, like... It's, like, gross.
I gag,
out.
Yeah.
Yeah. You get... It seems like a little tiny hair. It's like, ugh. Like, want to throw up. But, oh, man. That's like... That's really gross.
Yeah.
And also kind of sad, though, because... But, like, shouldn't she have known that this was going to happen? You know what I mean?
Well, Cox said that when she was stressed out, she found comfort from plucking strands of her hair and eating them during the day.
Ooh.
She thought it was harmless until she became pregnant. During her pregnancy, Cox suffered serious stomach pains and kept losing weight at the time. 2 months after her daughter was born, she felt that the pains became excruciating and went to the hospital. She noted that I couldn't eat without vomiting and my stomach would swell up. She lost 84 pounds in 2 years.
That seems... Well, 2 years, that's... I don't know.
But without trying?
Yeah, without trying. Yeah. That's really
like,
shocking.
That should be a danger.
Yeah, if you're trying, that's like a good amount to lose.
But if you're not trying,
yeah,
and you just randomly lose 84 pounds in 2 years, that's not good.
Especially if you were just pregnant.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be gaining
weight. Right, and
she
was just pregnant, too. Yeah.
Yeah. You're supposed to be gaining weight, not losing it.
Doctors had no clue what was wrong until Cox had an endoscopy that figured out what was wrong, which was the giant hairball. The hairball, or the doctors call a trichobezoar, was removed in a 6-hour operation.
Oh, my God.
She said that when she woke up, she instantly felt better. Although she was sore and groggy, she cried with relief that it was gone. And she says that now she can get on with being a hands-on mother.
Is she going to get help for the hair-eating thing, or...?
Well, hopefully this experience has scared her from
ever
doing that again. I mean,
if that happened to me, I would shave my head bald.
This isn't a little bit. This is 14 pounds of hair.
That's a lot of hair.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think hair's that heavy.
No.
To have 14 pounds of it? Well, this was going on for, what'd you say, 6 years?
Six, seven years.
Whew, man. I'm amazed that it didn't start hurting before that.
Yeah.
You know, and also, does hair not get digested?
I guess not.
Like, stomach acid is pretty strong.
But I guess it doesn't do hair because it's so thin, I guess. And so,
how does that matter?
So, I don't know. I have no idea.
What material is hair made of? Why aren't they making, like, bullet protective vests out of hair if it's that strong?
Yeah, it withstands stomach acid, apparently.
Yeah, like, I don't, like, what is hair that it can withstand stomach acid?
I don't know. I'm not an expert in this, damn it.
Well, you should be a hairologist.
Okay.
I wonder if that's a thing. I'm going to look it up. Hairologist.
Well, there's got to be something because they had to research all this stuff. Trichotillmania, which is the urge to pull out your hair, and then trichophagia, where you eat it. I'm pretty sure I'm not saying these right, but I don't care.
I have no idea.
Those are really long words. I'm trying my best.
There's a place called the Trichological Society.
I guess hair is tricho? Because it seems like a lot of these words start with tricho.
I would assume so.
Yeah, every word that I've said starts with tricho, so I guess that's the prefix for hair.
Yeah, trichology.
There you go. The more you know.
Is hair stuff.
There you go. Tricho is hair. There you go.
The Orthodox Hair Science and Hair Specialisms.
Woo!
This is very strange, Rich.
Well, there
hair mineral. Oh, hold on. Let me tell you some of the things you can learn about at the trichologist thing. You can learn about laser consultants, hair mineral analysts. I didn't know that was a thing. Hair mineral analysts.
You need to know the minerals.
Yeah, I guess trichologists.
There you go.
You can hair systems, bandanas, and wig suppliers.
There you go. Really learning. Details here on
anyway,
the odd news.
Well, this is the fun part of the odd news sometimes is when you talk about something, I go, oh, I've never heard of that. Let me research it. You know, we always find out about odd new towns and odd new scientific branches of study, you know. Interesting stuff. But trichology? I think trichology is something else.
Yeah, I think it's trichology.
Trichology.
Yeah.
Yeah, because trichology is something prostitutes do.
Okay. Yes.
No, not
yes,
at all?
I got it.
Screw
yes.
you.
Yes. Yes. Good job, Mike.
Come on, man. All right. Whatever.
All right. Let's get to our next story here.
Yeah, let's get to our next story.
I think you're going to like this story here. Okay. Going to Arkansas on this one.
Arkansas?
Arkansas.
You mean Arkansas?
It does look like Arkansas.
It is Arkansas.
An Arkansas sheriff said that an inmate who escaped custody walked into a bar, had some food and beer, and then kindly asked the owner to call authorities to turn himself in. Isn't he nice?
What?
Yeah.
So wait, he escaped?
He escaped.
And then had something to eat.
Decided to have something to eat and a beer, and then, you know, hey, I'll turn myself in.
He didn't really want to escape, he just wanted to have lunch.
Yeah, he just wanted to have some dinner.
So they're misrepresenting his actions. All he wanted was a meal. They're making him to be like this hardened criminal who escaped from jail. No, he was just hungry.
The Logan County Sheriff's Office said that 45-year-old Sean Higgum was arrested Tuesday around 9 o'clock at night when deputies responded to a call from the owner of Mitch's Tavern. The Post said that the call came shortly after a woman called authorities to report that a man wearing dirty-looking scrubs and orange shoes was in the bar. Mitchell Ford, the owner of the bar, said Higgum asked him to contact Sheriff Boyd Hicks specifically. Then the owner said, Mr. Sean, your picture is all over the TV. Higgum said, Mitch, I know, but just get me a beer and then you can help me turn myself in.
Wow.
He has his priorities straight. Get me a beer, man. And then we'll worry about that.
So what would be going through your mind if you were a business owner and an escaped convict is sitting there asking you for a beer?
Get him a beer.
Well, yeah, because if you don't get a beer, what's going to happen?
Yeah, right?
You know? It's like, what do you want it for? Murder. I'll have a beer and a hamburger, please.
Okay.
Coming right up, sir. On the house.
Ford said that Higgum was covered in insect bites and told him that he hadn't eaten in over 8 days.
Oh, my. How long was he escaped for?
Ford said he served the man a hamburger, fries, and beer while waiting for the deputies. The sheriff's office said Higgum didn't get to finish his beer before being taken back into custody.
Come on. He was going to give himself up. He could have let him finish it.
Let him finish his beer.
It's only one beer. What's the harm in that?
Yeah, come on.
But I want to know, how long was he on the run if he was covered in bug bites and he says he hadn't eaten in 8 days?
I guess a week.
Wow. What was he doing for a week straight?
I guess hiding just in the forest, because it says he was covered in insect bites.
Wow.
So I guess he was just in the forest for
a week.
Wouldn't
you try to, like, leave the state?
You'd think so.
Like, get
out. But this guy just wanted a beer. He just wanted food and a beer. Before I go back.
I love how he has this, like, week-long escape from prison. And he's like, you know what? Screw it. I'm just going to get a hamburger and go back to jail.
Yeah. Make sure I get my hamburger and beer, and then I'll be good. The cops noted that he was very cooperative and apologetic. He was also tired, hungry, and eaten up with insect bites. He was transported.
He's probably got the Zika virus.
He was transported back to the Logan County Detention Center, where he's being held on his previous charges and now additional charges. They include charge of a felony aggravated robbery, escape from the Logan County Detention Center, and more. He got out by apparently picking the lock on the cell door. So an old-fashioned pick lock.
Wow, really?
Yeah, apparently that's still a thing. Down in Arkansas.
Come on.
Down in Arkansas.
God.
We literally throw the slammer at you. And just lock it
was
up.
Is that the sound that the slammer makes?
It's not very intimidating.
Maybe that's why he was able to pick the lock.
Yeah,
because
right?
They're not literally like slamming a door made out of bubble wrap, apparently.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's all it does.
Yeah, it's like closing a tiny little door. I'm amazed that he could pick the lock. I've never been able to understand how lock picking works.
It's a regular door; you can pick it, but
I've never tried
for a cell door. Like, really? There's no added layer of security here.
I know, really. Like, he could. What did he pick it with? Like, how lax is the security there that they let him get stuff that he can pick the lock with, and that he was actually able to pick the lock?
It is Arkansas.
What's that supposed to mean? Arkansas is a noble state. That doesn't know how to pronounce its own name. It should be pronounced Arkansas. That's what it looks like.
And then,
or Arkansas.
And then Kansas and Arkansas could have like a rivalry.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, we're the original Kansas. Well, we have AR in the front of ours, so
yeah.
We're better. You know?
Sure.
Yeah, sure. There's some weird state rivalries, though.
Yeah.
Do you think that the North and South Dakotas and Carolinas have rivalries?
Oh, sure they do.
Like, you know, like North Dakota's like, psh, South Dakota.
I'm sure they do, yeah.
I kind of want to, like, be in one of those states.
That's kind of like us in Pittsburgh.
I mean, do we really have a rivalry with Pittsburgh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Do we, though?
Yeah.
Are you talking sports or are you talking
I'm talking sports.
You're talking sports, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, sports, but not like Philadelphia's like, oh, we hate Pittsburgh.
No,
just
but.
Just the city of Pittsburgh.
But I hate the Penguins.
Okay.
It still sickens me they won the Stanley Cup this year.
Okay.
God
but,
damn it.
But outside of sports, we're not rivals.
Bastards. Sidney Crosby, go lay on your freaking ass.
Okay. Sure. That was an odd threat. Like, go lay on your back. Have a nice nap, you son of a bitch. I guess North and South Jersey are kind of like that.
Are they?
I knew a couple of people in college that were always like, oh, South Jersey's better, oh, North Jersey's better. And I don't know whether it was just played up.
You know what it is? I think North Jersey considers themselves like New Yorkers.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
I think that's what it is, yeah.
Yeah.
And more people in South Jersey consider themselves Philadelphians.
Yeah. Well, the argument that I made to these two people that were arguing, North Jersey and South Jersey, two friends, I said, you know, you guys, your arguments are null and void because North Jersey wouldn't be anything without New York and South Jersey wouldn't be anything without Philadelphia. If Philadelphia and New York weren't where they were, New Jersey would be like any other podunk little state that doesn't matter. You know?
Yeah. So take that, Arkansas.
So take that. Yeah, take that, Arkansas.
And get better cell doors. Jesus
really?
Christ.
Come on. You deserve to be broken out of.
All right. Ready for our next story here?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right.
It.
Well, you know what? Speaking of Jersey, next story is Jersey.
All right. We're going to Jersey. We're going down the shore.
Well, no. Actually, not too far. Trenton.
Okay.
Trenton in this one.
All right. It's the state capital, right?
Jersey?
No.
No,
yes.
I don't think so.
What's the state capital?
I don't know. What's state capital? I don't know.
I thought it was.
Is it? Am I wrong?
I don't know. I'm going to look it up. Capital of Jersey.
Quick.
I'm trying to find it.
Ah!
Oh, that's not the right jersey. Apparently, there's more than one. I don't know what jersey that was. Trenton. Yeah, Trenton is the capital
of
New Jersey.
You are right.
Also, I'm spelling capital the wrong type of capital. Oh. Anyway.
Anyway. So, yeah, this story is in Trenton, New Jersey.
Okay.
A month-long investigation into someone who was selling prescription pain pills from a local home ended with the arrest of the alleged dealer, who was a 71-year-old grandmother.
Nice.
Yeah,
granny's
awesome. Dealing.
It makes sense, though, because old people would have a lot of medication, wouldn't they?
Police say that Euden... What kind of name is that? Euden. 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 Police say Euden McMillan protected her pills with a .38 caliber handgun.
Wow.
And a sawed-off shotgun. Yeah.
Why a sawed-off shotgun? I've never understood the point of a sawed-off shotgun.
Don't make me issue my ultimate form!
Yeah,
that's her ultimate form.
Yeah, don't get her pissed off here.
No, I'm gonna f***ing kill you, motherfucker, old style!
She's like she's like, you know in video games how the bosses always have three stages? First it's like, hey you whippersnapper, get away from my drugs. Then the handgun comes out, and then the sawed-off shotgun comes out. So those are like, that's her final stage, is the sawed-off shotgun.
Officers familiar with the operation said that McMillan was not violent, but was very cooperative and friendly. Okay. Although the police did find she was well armed. She had pills that included Endo, Xanax, and Oxycodone.
Wow. Well,
she had a lot of pills in this one.
Yeah.
These pills here are Barry Bond's favorite pills, and I have them in copious quantities.
Yeah, she's got the pills in copious quantities.
Copious quantities, all right.
And I'll give you a free bottle of pills just for coming in. And bring the kids, too. We've got pills for them as well. Call 555-PILLS. That's 555-PILLS today. I'm going to have one myself right now.
Yeah, Dr. Moley.
This is funny. I'm going to have one now myself. Like, it's candy. I'm just going to have a tiny snack, you know?
Officers said that she also had a stock of juice boxes and bags of chips.
Okay. That's completely unrelated to... Is there like a different like usage of the word juice box?
No. Like, she had them like in case like... buyers that came by to the house wanted some juice boxes or chips, something to snack on while you take your pills.
I feel like all drug dealers should have that.
Yeah, all right.
You know?
Follow this grandmother's lead. This is how you do drug deals.
If the drug business isn't going well for you, you know, offer your clients some snacks.
Yeah, all
snacks. Right. Everybody loves snacks, especially juice boxes.
She was allegedly selling pills for $20 a piece. Inside McMillan's home, investigators found over $3,000 in loose cash.
Wow.
Cash money.
Wow.
A bag of 250 pills that were going to be bought by her next buyer.
Oh, my God.
A further 165 pills she had in her inventory, including the Endo, Xanax, and Oxycodone, and the firearms. McMillan posted $20,000 bail, and she was released. She is still charged with numerous drug possession, drug dealing, and firearm violation charges. So,
wow.
A couple charges coming her way.
These pills here are Barry Bonds' favorite pills, and I have them in copious quantities.
Yeah, so there you go. Copious quantities.
Schedule your free consultation, and I'll give you a free bottle of pills just for coming in. And bring the kids, too. We've got pills for them as well. Call 555-PILLS. That's 555-PILLS today. I'm going to have one myself right now.
So there you go.
That's great. I love that. I'm going to have one myself.
Sure.
Oh, my gosh. That's she had a lot of pills.
Yeah.
Like, so
that's over, 250 plus 160? That's over 400.
Like, yeah. I mean, I don't know, like, how many pills people buy at a time. You said that one person was going to buy 250.
Yeah, that guy needed some serious help.
Like, no, that guy was probably another dealer buying to resell. Don't you think?
So, she's like the drug lord at that rate, and she's got...
Well, yeah, because I don't think one person's going to... I don't know, maybe one person does use 250 pills.
Maybe.
I have no idea. I don't take pills.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't know. But it just seems like a lot. So how did she... You can't buy that stuff, though, like, over the counter, can you?
I guess she accumulated all this? I don't know.
So does she have, like, a prescription?
Maybe she has sources in, like, a nursing home or something? I don't know.
Maybe she has a prescription, right? And
yeah.
She's like, oh, the pain is so bad, I need another prescription. She just keeps...
Oh, please give me some more.
Okay. I don't know why, but you reminded me of that line in Oliver Twist. He's like, please, sir, please. Can I have some more?
Please, I need some more.
And more? More drugs, you say?
Please, I'm just a poor old grandmother with the drug empire.
She's just trying to do business.
Yeah, all right.
She's an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
You know?
The American capitalist spirit.
She's living the American dream.
Yeah.
You live to a nice old age. You start a drug empire. That's the American dream that all of our ancestors, that all of our forefathers dreamt of when they founded this great nation.
Make your own sawed-off shotgun.
Yeah.
And live in Trenton, New Jersey.
Now, what is the point of a sawed-off shotgun?
What?
No, like, legit. Like, what is the point of a sawed-off shotgun? Is it like
a compact shotgun?
Is that it?
I think so.
It's just a compact shotgun.
Okay. It also blasts. I think it blasts wider.
Wider.
Yeah, because the barrel isn't.
Yeah,
longer.
Yeah. I guess for close quarters, you want it to be able to like. But that only works in really close quarters, though. That's the thing.
I'm gonna take you, mother effers out.
Well, all I know is that I just searched for sawed off shotgun, so I'm definitely on a list or two now.
Mike, you've already been on this list.
Yeah, the number of lists I'm on just keeps growing and growing.
Yes.
It's all because of the odd news. It's the odd news' fault.
Yep.
That's the excuse I'll use. Yeah, my internet history, it's the odd news.
Yep. And I have to buy 250 pills. Why? Odd news.
Odd news. Yeah, that's right. It's research for the odd news.
Yep. All right, ready for our next story here?
Yep.
All right, it's time for our Florida stories.
Now. Who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
All right, I got two Florida stories here for you.
Okay, what do you got?
All right, this first one is just ridiculous. A 30-year-old Florida man has been arrested after he stabbed another man over a $2 deal.
No, I'm gonna kill you, motherfucker, old style.
$2?
Yeah.
$2!
Stab.
$2 stab. But why? $2, really?
Yeah, $2.
God.
Winter Haven police said that 30-year-old Michael Stevenson approached the 36-year-old victim while walking on Friday evening. According to the victim, Stevenson told him that he wanted the $2 that he was owed back. When they argued over the debt, Stevenson then stabbed the victim in the upper back and ran away.
Really?
Yeah. Over $2.
That's just so dumb right there. I can't, like, I don't sweat anything under five. If it's under five, it's like, whatever. It's just, like, no big deal. You know? $2? Come on. That's insane.
A witness called 911 and emergency personnel responded. Police say that the victim fell to the ground but got up and tried to get to his house nearby. Officers circulated the area looking for Stevenson but couldn't find him. Due to the severity of his injuries, the victim was airlifted to a local hospital where he was listed in critical condition.
Wow.
But as of now, he has recovered and he's in stable condition. So that's good. He's going to survive this.
That was a bad injury.
Oh, yeah. He stabbed him in the back, man.
Well, like, what's in the back? I don't know. Like what is
he? Spine? That could be bad.
That's true,
You're talking dangerous area.
Was he trying to stab the spine or did he, like, hit the shoulder blade or something?
I don't know.
I guess it wouldn't say.
Yeah. The other thing is that he's in stable condition.
Well, that's good.
Authorities tracked Stevenson down Saturday at his home after getting a warrant for his arrest. They said he has an extensive criminal history and was booked in the local county jail on charges of attempted second-degree murder with a deadly weapon.
Wow.
So, yeah, he's going to get some time.
But the big question is, did he get the $2 back?
No. At no point did he get the $2 back.
He's going to end up spending more money in court fees and bail and everything else. He should just let the $2 slide.
Yeah.
Come on. That's why he's not a businessman, because he doesn't recognize a good deal when he sees one. Just let the $2 go. But no, now he's going to end up spending like quintuple that amount. More than that, probably. Crazy lunatic.
Yeah. All for $2!
It'd be great if Vic DiPetetto was here. To give us his opinion on this, you know? Oh, man. But people are willing to do the craziest things for this tiny bit of money. Like, you can scrounge around in the couch and find, you know, that amount in quarters or something stupid like that.
You can ask other people on the street to loan your money or something.
Yeah, really?
If you really need $2 that in that moment.
I can't understand, like why you'd be that desperate that you needed $2 like that.
All right, I got one more story here. One more Florida story to end the odd news for this week.
Okay.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
All right. A 48-year-old Florida man who was naked from the waist down said that he was on a month-long crack cocaine binge when he tried to outrun sheriff's deputies on I-95. Yeah, this guy must really love the cocaine.
Did you say a month-long binge?
Yes.
I don't know if... Once you get past a few days, I don't think it counts as a binge anymore so much as a raging addiction.
Frederick Francis Patron is now facing charges of aggravated battery on a law enforcement officer, fleeing and eluding at a high speed, and possession of drug paraphernalia.
Eluding at a high speed.
Yeah.
Is there an eluding at a low speed? He's going so slow, I could barely keep up with him. You know?
That's only, fine. Low speed is a fine.
Was it Robot Chicken or Family Guy? They did a Star Wars spoof where they're like, Han Solo says, we're going to take evasive maneuvers. And he starts, and then it goes from the perspective of the bad guys, and they go, oh, man, he's got some crazy moves. He's listing slowly to the left.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh. You know what I'm talking about, though, right?
I know what you're talking about. County sheriff's deputies pulled him over in his Ford F-150 truck. Patron, who said he works in air conditioning, was being held on a $500,000 bond.
Wow.
Yeah, so he's not getting out.
Oh, my gosh.
The incident began at 4 in the morning.
Oh my! How long did it last? When was he caught?
Well, let's see. The incident began at 4 in the morning when a U.S. Border Patrol officer reported Patron fled after the federal officer stopped him for reckless driving. Three sheriff's deputies in marked cars soon were on Patron's tail and tried to force his truck to a stop. Patrone swerved into the median where he lost a tire but still kept going.
Wow, that's dedication right there. That's like something out of Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah.
When you lose a tire and you keep driving away from the police.
During the pursuit, Patrone rammed a deputy's car and changed directions on the highway before he was finally stopped with the remaining three tires on the truck punched out by a spike strip set out by local cops.
This really is like straight out of a video game. Yeah. Come on. That's insane.
When he was finally boxed in by the officers' cars, deputies approached with guns drawn. But Patrone was screaming that he didn't want to get out of the truck.
Okay. I don't think he has a choice.
He was finally pulled out of the vehicle after deputies smashed the passenger side window in order to unlock the truck. When he was handcuffed, they noticed that he was only wearing a t-shirt and socks.
Oh, yeah. I forgot the part where he was naked.
Yeah, that's it. A t-shirt
and socks.
Yeah, that doesn't cover up kind of, you know, the main,
yeah,
you know,
the
genitalia.
The main reason people wear clothes.
Yeah. if anything, you have, like, the complete opposite. You need the flip-flop, you know.
Well, this always strikes me as funny, but restaurants always say, you know, no shirt, no shoes, no service. They say nothing about pants.
So he could have. Well, no, he didn't have shoes. He only had socks.
He only socks.
Yep.
So he couldn't. He couldn't even get a meal at McDonald's.
Yep.
Patrone.
I love this part in the police report. Patrone was evidently in a state of excited delirium.
Excited delirium. I love that phrase.
Right. Patrone had body tremors and was panicking. He also fainted. Patrone then stated numerous times that, quote, I have been smoking crack for over a month and drinking as well. Yeah, man.
He really does.
Boy, man, over a month.
Man. Like, when he says I've been smoking it for over a month, does he mean, like, just constantly?
I guess
like,
so, yeah.
Like, several times
a
day?
In his system. Keep going. He loves the cocaine. Don't you understand that part of the story, Mike?
So is that an autobiographical song?
Yes. Buck Cherry, I think, did lit up in honor of this guy. Patrone's criminal history includes arrests previously for theft, burglary, traffic offenses, and drug possession. He was first arrested on a cocaine bust in 1987, so...
Shocker.
Yeah, so I guess his story does check out. It all checks out, sir.
It all checks out, yeah.
We believe you.
He really does love the cocaine.
We believe you.
Yeah. He's definitely not lying about that, that's for sure.
And there you go, folks. That's what I have for you in this week's non-Fortune Cookie Odd News. But before we officially wrap up the show... Let's go over and list what have we learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, Mike, what have you learned on this episode?
Well, I've learned that that song, I Love the Cocaine, is really an autobiographical song of that guy in Florida.
Yeah.
Who really loves cocaine. He did it for a month straight. I can't remember his name at all.
Frederick Francis Patrone.
Yeah, it's an autobiographical song of Francis Frederick Patrone.
Yep.
I also learned that what...
Very very specific.
Yeah.
Buck Cherry knew that man personally.
Personally, yeah. Back when did you say he was first caught with cocaine? Back in 1980-something?
Yeah, 87.
Yeah, yeah. Knew him personally back in 87. I also learned, though, that old ladies are a really good source of drugs.
Yeah.
Old people have lots of drugs. It makes sense that they should go into business reselling the drugs to people.
Yeah, why not?
Well, drugs are expensive.
Make some money.
Well, drugs are expensive. They need to pay for more drugs.
Sure.
So they sell the drugs.
It's the cycle of drugs.
The cycle of drugs.
Yeah.
Everything goes back to the Lion King.
Okay.
I don't know why. I also learned that trichology is a thing. It's hair science.
The science
or the
of
study
hair.
Of hair. Yeah. I had no idea. That was legitimately something I learned in The odd news.
And I learned that hair doesn't digest in the stomach.
No, it doesn't. That's weird.
Yeah.
I feel like it should, though. But it doesn't.
No. Nope.
So
don't eat your hair.
Well, you know, just goes to show I don't know anything about science. I didn't know that.
Nope.
At all. I also learned that Pokemon Go is huge. It's going to continue to be huge until somebody gets run over by a train or a car.
It's going
to
happen.
Trying to catch a Pokemon. It's going to happen eventually. Be smart when you're playing Pokemon Go, people.
Use common sense.
Yes, that's all it is. It's common sense. It's not rocket science.
No.
Don't end up in the odd news. That should be the incentive.
Yeah.
Don't end up in the odd news.
Right.
That's all you got to do. And finally, I learned, Rich, you taught me this, that 6-month-olds are very tough and very knowledgeable when it comes to boobs.
Oh, yeah.
They sound like they've been smoking a pack a day.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Now that's a boob right there.
Yeah, we know boobs.
I'd like to latch on to that.
Yeah, come over here, sugar.
Give me some of that sweet, sweet milk. Om nom nom nom.
Yes. Wow, that was blatantly obvious.
What?
Give me that milk.
Yeah. Duh. What? Yeah. That's what babies are all about.
Oh, yeah.
They love those boobs.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think babies love boobs.
I think we all love boobs.
Everyone loves boobs.
Yeah, come on.
Come on now. You cannot show a picture of boobs to somebody and that person be like, eh.
Yeah, everyone loves boobs.
Everybody loves boobs. There's something about them.
There you go, anyway. Folks. That's what we've learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I'm if I know what we did.
Woo! Man. What a way to end that episode. Everyone loves boobs.
That's right. That should be like a mantra.
Yeah.
You know? Everyone loves boobs.
I think that should be on a bumper sticker.
It probably is.
Everybody loves
boobs. I feel like
boobs.
I'm not going to internet search that right now. Maybe a little bit later.
Yeah, maybe a little bit later. But folks, this is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. If you're interested in more on our little show, check out our website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure to like us on Facebook, The Crispy Noodle, and follow us on Twitter at The Crispy Noodle.
That's right. You can also subscribe to our channel on YouTube, where you can find all of our latest video noodles, interviews, and best bits that we've put up there. But most importantly, remember to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. You get the latest episodes downloaded for free every Thursday, straight to your phone, computer, or tablet. You can listen to us at home, on the go, or at work, anytime, anywhere, anyhow. Just search for, download, and subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes. You can even listen to us while playing Pokemon Go.
There you go.
It's perfect.
Sure, why not?
Actually, I might do that this Thursday.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
Perfect.
Walk around town, listen to the podcast, catch your Pokemon. It's perfect.
Well, if you only have time for one throw of the Pokeball, check out our SoundCloud page, where we have the best bits of the show condensed to a 2 to 3 minute quick play that you can listen to on the go while you're catching the Pokemon.
There you go. It's perfect.
There you go. Why not?
The best format for Pokemon catching. But there's so many.
There you go.
Everything goes back to Pokemon with me right now. But so many ways to share and get in touch with the Crispy Noodle Podcast. If you want to get in touch with us individually on Twitter, maybe to talk about Pokemon, you can find me at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. Find us on the Twitters and talk to us. Why not?
Yeah.
Let us know.
We love hearing from
to.
You guys. Let us know what you're up to.
Yeah. Folks, this has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the Crispy Noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. That's going to do it for us for this week. But until next week, we'll see you guys then. And Mike will be capturing more Pokemon around the area.
I'm actually going to go catch some right now.
As soon
as we close out the show.
He's got his foot up.
I'm getting my phone out. I'm getting ready.
All right. Well,
I'm getting ready.
All right. Well, there you go. Mike's off. Until then, we'll see you guys next week.
See you guys.
Later.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
What's the deal with the podcast? What's going on? It's just crazy. It's wild. It's the Crispy Noodle 2016. Oh, my.
my gosh!